Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Friday, January 25th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, two people were killed and four others suffered injuries during a fast-moving fire in South Philadelphia. The fire started at 2:15 in the morning Friday in the middle row home along the 2600 block of South 3rd Street. Arriving firefighters learned there might be people trapped inside the home, so they quickly employed a high-risk procedure. We also had fire companies come in through the rear doing what we call a vent, enter, and search, the fire department said. Initially, crews did not see fire from the outside, but upon entering the home, they found heavy smoke and flames on the first floor. Four occupants had already escaped the home. At least three did so by jumping out of the second-story windows. Those who jumped sustained leg injuries. A couple of the victims were also being treated for second-degree burns and smoke inhalation. Firefighters quickly searched the home for others who were trapped. They soon found two victims who were not able to get out in time. No additional information, including the age or gender, has been released about the victims, and the cause of the fire is under investigation. So sad. Missing 3-year-old Casey Hathaway has been found alive 3 days after he disappeared from his grandmother's North Carolina home. The FBI confirmed that Casey has been found alive. He was located by professional search and rescue crews. Craven County Sheriff Chip Hughes said, "We brought Casey to his family like we said we were going to. He had a big smile on his face when he saw his sister." Casey is at the hospital being evaluated. The FBI said that he's in good health and is talking and has been reunited with his family.
Any details on what happened? I saw the news reports. They didn't say anything about if he got lost or a family member.
So they think he just got lost. He was outside playing and he left, and they think he got lost in the woods. Professional searchers covered the wooded area Thursday night to search for Casey. Hundreds of volunteers helped in the effort Tuesday and Wednesday, but were told to stay home on Thursday for safety reasons because of treacherous terrain and conditions. So Shane Greer, the EMS captain who found Casey, said, "We responded to a tip and found him by voice, disentangled him from some of the bush and brought him out." Many questions remain unanswered. Sheriff Hughes says that they don't think that Casey stayed in that area the whole time. They think that he did move around. Canine units from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children helped in the search. Now, they said the 911 call, I guess they released that, and that kind of gave out a little bit more information. They said that they had, the family had been searching for Casey for about 45 minutes before they called. He was outside playing in the yard. I guess on the side of the house is kind of a wooded area. The two kids that he was playing with came inside when, I guess, when the family went outside to look for Casey, he was gone. And then they searched the woods on their own for about 45 minutes and then called police.
How many times do you emotionally die if you're the parents looking for this kid?
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, and you know what, too? Like, you almost don't blame them for taking 45 minutes to call, because you don't want to call if it's not necessary. And you think, okay, my kid's here. I don't panic. Just find him.
Oh, I used to wander off all the time. I think you used to do it all the time.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it was a nightmare.
Yep.
According to the National Weather Service data, the night Casey went missing, temperatures in Craven County were below freezing for roughly 6 hours. And I don't know exactly what it means, but the police said that he wasn't properly dressed. So, you know, who knows if he even had a jacket on. But he survived. They found him. He's at the hospital. They said he's alert and talking. The iconic split-flap signboard at 30th Street Station will be removed from the train station this weekend. Work was done late Thursday to remove the clock that sat on top of the board. Temporary monitors have been put in place for the time being. The historic schedule board, with its distinctive click-clacking sound, was installed in the 1970s to replace a chalkboard. Amtrak, I know, isn't that funny? Amtrak and Congressman Brendan Boyle said that they will replace the sign with a high-tech display that can sync with the boarding gates and it's is compliant with disability laws. The old schedule board will be removed, and it will be moved to the Railroad Museum of Pennsylvania in Lancaster County. However, there is an effort to somehow reincorporate it into 30th Street Station at a later date.
I heard that they were going to attempt to do something with the software that would allow them to sort of get to simulate that clicking thing. Do they skip that? Are they not going to do that?
I don't know. I mean, I would hope so.
It's such an iconic piece of history here.
Yeah, and when you would hear it, you'd turn around. You'd turn your head and look.
Exactly.
And see what the changes were.
Oh, and it was like, and as soon as like the, you know, the gate that you were supposed to go to, or the, you know, the, it would like, the people would just run to it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, in sports this morning.
You don't
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Sixers, who have won two games in a row and five of their last six, begin a four-game road trip tomorrow night with a game in Colorado against the Denver Nuggets. The Sixers remain in fourth place in the Eastern Conference at 32-17, a game behind the Indiana Pacers. The Nuggets, meanwhile, are the second-best team in the West and two games behind the Golden State Warriors in the conference standings. Tip-off is at 9 o'clock. The Warriors met with former President Barack Obama yesterday in Washington after not visiting the White House following last year's championship. The visit in Obama's office lasted about an hour and included the team's players and team security personnel. It was amazing, Warriors all-star forward Kevin Durant said, following the team's win over the Washington Wizards. The Warriors visited Obama, a huge basketball fan, in the White House in February of 2016 to celebrate their 2015 championship. During their bye week and the all-star break, the Flyers have recalled goaltender Anthony Stolarz from his conditioning loan with the Lehigh Valley Phantoms and have loaned goaltender Carter Hart to the Phantoms. The move isn't expected to last more than a few days, as Hart, who is the Flyers' goalie for the future and also the present, will use the break to get some work in at the AHL level. The Flyers resume practice on Sunday and will return to action on Monday with a game at home against Winnipeg. And for one more week, the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Yes.
One more week.
Savor it.
That's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Welcome to the end of the work week and many things that we have for you. Let's start with some giveaways. Our Word of the Week prize give it away today. Four-pack of tickets, backstage passes to meet Dorothy. We'll send you over to Lorenzo's with dinner and the whole deal, and a guitar and turntable and all this great stuff. So we'll do that at the end of today's program. Way before that, around 8, we have Go Fund Yourself, another chance to win $1,000, maybe even $10,000. We're going to have a good friend on today, Adam McKay.
So excited.
Yeah, the writer and director up for Oscars for Vice, which is in theaters now, and SAG Awards, which is this weekend, by the way. Sunday is the SAG Awards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'll get you the update on that a little bit in entertainment. But Adam is jumping in with us in the 9 o'clock hour. And our friends from the Pickle-Lillian. Stopping by.
Lovely legs, Lily.
And lots of wings as well. So they will come in and we'll do some giveaways in conjunction with their appearance here this morning. So, and speaking of appearances, I will be at Acme.
And why?
In Roxborough today. Well, it's their grand reopening and they're having a little birthday party for us.
Happy birthday!
Yeah.
And I see on our agenda today here, Casey wrote 8:15, Preston's birthday surprise.
Ooh.
So
yeah,
I'm
very excited.
I don't know what that is. I wasn't expecting anything at all.
I wouldn't expect too much now.
They're making it up as we go, Preston.
I wouldn't expect too much now, but it's going to be interesting.
I mean,
you know what?
It made the list. So.
Casey was... I mean, listen, this whole Acme thing is wonderful. That's my Acme. I think it's great. But he had some stuff planned.
I know.
It sort of took the wind out of the sails.
I'm bummed.
Yeah, me too.
I'm looking forward to going by this appearance.
It's going to be a great time.
Today it will be fun, but Casey told me about something that if I wouldn't have been doing that he had planned for me for the day.
And Marissa was like, oh, you know, well, we could do like a hybrid. I'm like, no, I don't want to.
Well, maybe we can reveal what that is later on. Yeah, so yeah. We also have the final opportunity this week to get some fish tickets. And not only that, we have 3-day reserved seat passes to see fish when they come to town, BB&T Pavilion, June 28th through the 30th. So you get to go to all three shows, and these are pavilion seats. And we're going to do a secret text word, just like we did yesterday. So text the word fish, P-H-I-S-H. It's all set up. And we will send a word back to you, and later on we'll ask you to call, and we'll do the regular secret text word thing. Just one winner, though. It's over $500 value, by the way, for these tickets. So a pair of tickets for 3 days of all three shows. And,
three shows, that's three songs.
And, three songs.
Come on,
each
six songs.
Three
they
hours
do an
long. And so that's these are reserved seats. So go ahead and get on that now. Text word FISH to 39333. So those things and more are taking place today. Let's go ahead and break. Come back in a second. The entertainment report, the stupid question, all that stuff is happening when we return. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Steve, and I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Keep listening to the Preston and Steve Show to find out when we're heading back to Jack Frost Mountain for the 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. And visit jfbb.com anytime for conditions and to view their live webcam. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like you to make it a perfectly personal new year with our friends at Hannah Stone. Make it personal. Make it about you. You spent enough time over the holidays thinking about everybody else. Let's think about you now. There's over 50 locations of Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and the spa services start at just $59.95. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Go to hannahstone.com today.
Steven Singer Jewelers is not revealing one new gold-dipped rose color this Valentine's Day. He's got five! His roses start at only $59 exclusively at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So we're going to do a stupid question this morning, and we are going to give away the tickets to Major League Wrestling, which the event is February 2nd at 2300 Arena in South Philly. Question I have this morning is about Natalie Portman. Which role did she famously shave her head for?
Mm-hmm.
215-263 WMMR. For which role, what film, I should say, not necessarily the character, what film did she shave her head for?
She was here in Philly when that happened. And
really?
You remember the Live 8 concert that happened along the parkway?
Yeah.
For some reason, she was one of the celebrity spokespeople backstage and had a shaved head.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's see if you know what movie that was from. 215-263 WMMR. Today is Friday, January 25th. Let's go through some birthdays today. Alicia Keys is celebrating her birthday today. She's going to host the Grammys,
she's
right?
Hosting the Grammys, yeah. I wonder what kind of host she'll be.
It's a good question. I mean, she seems like a cool person.
Super talented. Oh,
wait, why not LL? I thought he was doing a good job.
Yeah, to me, they should have locked and loaded with him.
Yeah.
I agree. We'll see what kind of host she makes. And I just got word. You know what? I'll save it for entertainment news.
Who's she married to? She's married to someone, another...
Dustin Diamond, I think.
Composer, pretty famous.
Nick is looking
Swizz Beatz. Swizz Beatz, Preston. You know Swizz Beatz.
Swizz Neat.
Swizz Neat.
We used to say that all the time. Swizz Neat. Well, Alicia Keys is 38 years old today. Gregory Sierra, actor from Sanford and Son and Barney Miller.
Huge gap in his teeth.
Yeah, I went with this one because I like the Barney. Although Sanford and Son is a really good theme as well.
And it brings you back to the days of pleasuring yourself.
Yeah,
up in the room.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Mother,
yes.
Don't come up.
Yeah.
I'm Sanfording. I'm coming, Elizabeth.
Dude, are you serious?
Right? That's what you're...
Who is Elizabeth?
You'd have to scream that. I'm coming, Elizabeth!
Oh, my God. All right, well, Gregory Sierra, who was on Sanford and Son from time to time at 78 years old today, and sharing a birthday with yours truly today. I did not know this until this morning. But he's a friend of our show. He's local. If you happen to know Brent Selleck, tell him it's my birthday, too.
Yeah.
And tell him to give us a call. We should do a little happy birthday love with each other this
Brent
morning.
Come in.
Brent has
bring you presents.
Has entered into the world of real estate.
Yes.
Now. That's his thing. And he, when we had him by here, you know, shortly after his retirement, he was really excited about the prospect of getting into real estate.
It was cool.
He loves it.
It's cool to see him that jazzed about it. Yeah. So, yeah. And apparently he's off and running with it.
Remember we asked him, all right, listen, you know what? You've had a successful career in football. You've made some money. He's building a new property, a new home. What's the one badass thing that you're doing? He's like, well, I put a football field in the backyard.
He's just got his own,
of course,
football field
he
in
earned
the
it.
Backyard.
He did. And I'm telling you, one of the tops as far as people who have worn that uniform.
Just
the greatest guy.
Whole career here.
Yeah.
Could have probably played another season elsewhere. Chose not to. Retired an Eagle.
For that reason. Wanted to retire an Eagle,
So happy birthday, Brent Selleck. If one of us has his number, send him a happy birthday text. He's 34 today, by the way. Happy birthday to you, Brent. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to this question. Natalie Portman shaved her head for a role in what film? 215-263-WMMR, our number. And I will go to Nick, see if he knows the answer. Hi, Nick. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Nick, do you know what movie we're talking about?
It should be V for Vendetta.
V for Vendetta, yeah. Great job. Hang on just a second. Nick, we got a pair of tickets for Major League Wrestling. Expect the unexpected as Major League Wrestling presents a live BN Sports Televised Network special February 2nd at the 2300 Arena. off 95 in South Philadelphia. Visit MLWGO.com for tickets and information.
You know, they're working on a sequel called A as in Bear.
The Robin Lee story.
Robin Lee.
I love it.
That's awesome. I love that movie, V for Vendetta. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The graphic novel is great, too. The whole story is awesome. And she was wonderful in it. All right, so... Let's get into some of the entertainment stories. As I said, the Screen Actors Guild Awards is coming up this Sunday. Just a handful of things to tell you about it. They're voted on by members of the Actors Guild.
Us!
That would be us.
So don't piss us off.
The show presents 15 awards, including ensemble and cast performances. This year, Amy Adams, Emily Blunt, and Emma Stone grabbed 2 nominations each.
And to let you know how accurate they want to be, we're still getting things to vote on as of like yesterday.
Right, right.
Is voting closed, by the way?
I would assume it would have to be. I voted last year.
Did you?
All right, so I'll make sure I get them in.
And I watched Vice last night, and Amy Adams is fantastic.
She's excellent. Yeah.
She's fantastic in it.
What did you think of Amy Adams, Kathy, in Vice?
She's all right.
Kathy turned it off. She couldn't. She didn't like
she
it.
She wasn't a fan.
Oh, the whole movie?
You can't like everything. You know what? It just wasn't. I didn't like the way it flowed. It wasn't my cup of tea.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I thought it was creative in how it flowed. It kept me interested because it was not a normal way a film goes.
But, anyway. But maybe that's because even like, what was the one I hated?
Boyhood.
No, the one with, oh my God.
Birdman.
Birdman.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? That was, but that was different. That was a different way of,
Did you like Pulp Fiction?
You know what? I hated Pulp Fiction. There you go. So the first
with
time
the
I
non-linear storylines you don't like. And that's totally fine.
I guess it throws me off. But sure. I did watch that again and enjoyed it, but I'm not like fanatical like some people are about it.
Yeah.
A Star is Born, by the way, nabbed 4 nominations. Alan Alda will receive the Lifetime Achievement Award. The show is from the Shrine Auditorium in L.A. and it airs on TBS and TNT starting at 8 p.m.
By the way,
Sunday.
We have until 3 p.m. today.
Oh, to vote?
To vote.
All right. Oh, okay. I'm going to do it. I did it last year.
And Megan Mullally is going to host this year, following in the footsteps of Kristen Bell, who was the show's first-time host last year. They had never had a host before. Speaking of that, I'll do a little music news here. Speaking of award shows, Red Hot Chili Peppers are going to perform with Post Malone at the Grammy Awards. And like you said, Birthday Girl Alicia Keys is going to be hosting it. It's February 10th at the Staples Center in L.A. Post Malone has been nominated for 4 Grammys this year, including Record of the Year and Album of the Year. They don't know if they're going to do a Post Malone song or something else, meaning the Red Hot Chili Peppers. But other performers that have been announced, Miley Cyrus, Brandi Carlile, Cardi B, Shawn Mendes, Janelle Monáe, Kacey Musgraves, Dan and Shay, and Camila Cabello, to name a few. So
The Grammys are still probably my favorite to watch because of the performances. It favors that. And that's to me is what's well worth watching. When we get into the season, it's one right after another. I just get so sick of awards.
Yeah.
Completely. By the time we hit the Oscars, I'm like, enough already.
So Post Malone with the Chili Peppers.
But she got beautiful boobies.
That's our Post Malone moment.
She do.
Hey, Khloe Kardashian is once again keeping fans guessing about what's really going on in her life with a series of seemingly contradictory messages.
My wife and I got into a big fight last night about she was thinking some stuff was going on with Khloe and I was thinking some other stuff.
No way.
It actually got physical. The cops had to be called.
Wow, I'm sorry to hear that, but I can understand. In one Instagram story, the 34-year-old posted, sending love to everyone who's trying their best to heal from things that they don't discuss. And then she added, I wish I had the time for the nervous breakdown I deserve.
She deserves one.
You deserve one? Okay. Then, with barely a beat, she started posting a series of cute shots and videos of her 9-month-old daughter, True. She's had a crazy year after her boyfriend, Tristan Thompson, publicly cheated on her just days before they welcomed their first child together. You know the routine. Though she's stayed with him, she has often posted rueful messages on social media, and many fans and family members were vocal in the beginning that Khloe should leave Tristan, blah, blah,
And then her last one this morning was, I love jerky.
It was really?
Yeah.
Well, who
she's all over the place, Preston.
Nick pulled up her Instagram stories, and she's got a shot of her ridiculously stupid long fingernails.
Yeah. And look what she's driving.
Rolls.
Yep.
Yeah, of course, you can see that on
the
steering
moment
wheel.
You feel a little bad for her.
Yeah.
Perspective.
I don't.
Yeah. By the way, you know, that happened by accident that she was showing her hand right in front of the Rolls logo of her steering wheel, right?
Nothing's deliberate in that world.
Yeah.
So, quick question. Look at this picture that's up in the studio.
Yeah.
This looks nothing, nothing like Khloe Kardashian.
It looks nothing like her.
Nothing like her, and it is her.
Yeah, agreed.
Do you, when you get so bad, you have to check your own license photo to remember who you are?
Yeah.
And
you've gone overboard. Yeah. Forget a team of royal helpers. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are reportedly skipping hiring a nanny, a la Prince William and Kate Middleton.
Ah.
Per a report in Vanity Fair, they do not plan to hire a nanny or nurse initially and will instead rely on the help of Meghan's mother.
We either get Fran Drescher or no one.
Okay.
The nanny.
The nanny.
Yes.
what they need is the bodyguard.
Yeah,
get him.
So her mother is in the picture. Her father's the one that's
yes.
not.
Yes, Doria Ragland is reportedly moving in and will have her own wing of the house.
Casey, just like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what, Case? I really have not been that clear on that. Maybe the, I guess.
They're very close.
That the but the mother and father are, I guess they're.
I think they're split.
Yeah, they have to be.
Either that or they just don't talk about her constantly leaving. While he's begging to get over there. Hey, if you can put in a good word for me.
Hey, now, listen, just shut up. Just shut up for a little bit.
I've got some great advice if you were to just shut up! I never say anything. I get invited constantly, you dumb F.
While the pair won't be relying on human helpers, they will be setting up a very 2.0 nursery fitted with cameras, a stereo, and plenty of security. They are, according to a source, they are going all out with the refurbishment of the house. And as Harry loves his gadgets, it's going to be very cool.
They've put an Alexa in the den.
They'll be able to...
Alexa, play...
Air supply.
They'll be able to control everything from their smartphones.
I could have sworn you were going to ask for Baby Shark.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that'd be really good. The royals are also not thinking pink or blue. Instead, they're preparing a gender neutral, eco-conscious nursery with vegan paint infused with eucalyptus oil.
The hell are they doing over there? Know.
Snap out of it. Vegan paint? I've never heard of vegan
paint. What, so these are pain chips you can eat?
Maybe that's the case. Eucalyptus oil.
I don't know. Did you say they indicated whether they know the sex of the baby or not?
I'm not sure, Case.
They may not.
They may be going gender neutral because they... I can't say gender neutral. They may be going gender neutral because they don't know the sex of the baby.
What's, yeah. They have a great way. They're going to do a gender reveal party, and they're going to have two commoners standing on gallows.
Oh yeah?
God.
And they'll
and
hang
the one that hangs.
The boy or the girl?
Yeah, right, right.
Okay. We're going to hang.
They're going old school.
So they come up and they pull the lever.
Right, yes. And one of them is a pretend lever. It's a girl.
Only one.
Try. Cool old-fashioned hang.
Yeah.
Or, Steve, if this is in France, right. There'd be two guillotines.
Right.
One would be wearing a blue hat, and the other would be wearing a pink hat.
Have you seen the latest trend with gender reveal for lasagna?
Did no.
You cut
no,
into,
what?
Yeah, no.
What?
Yeah, you
oh
cut,
my God.
I saw it floating around this week, and you cut into the lasagna, and if it's pink on the inside or blue on the inside.
Well, that's just dumb because lasagna sucks.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's one
oh,
reason.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, give me a good lasagna. Oh. Give me a lasagna that's better than a stuffed shell or a manigault.
Let me get this straight. You're arguing with the birthday boy?
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry. I just want to put this
no,
in
no,
context.
You're right. You're right.
All
you're right.
God, man.
Somebody get the man lasagna.
I will have Rochelle make some lasagna for you. I
Lasagna's
love
delicious.
Lasagna.
Yeah, exactly. I used to despise lasagna,
oh,
and
it.
Now I love
Wait,
lasagna.
What's to hate about it?
It's
what's
just overrated.
My father cheated on my mother with lasagna.
Okay.
With
lobster ravioli.
Lobster ravioli and lasagna are overrated. I'm saying it. I just said it. I'm sorry, Preston. I just ruined your birthday.
I guess
damn
Preston's
it.
Birthday doesn't matter to you.
God damn it. All right. Well, anyhow, the design director, Vicky Charles from Soho Farmhouse has reportedly been hired to help
It'd
out.
It'd be cool if her name was Vicky Charles Soho Farmhouse.
Vicky would be. When Ben Stiller popped up behind the table next to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo at a high-profile press conference on Thursday, social media users began buzzing about the 53-year-old's future in politics. Now, he hasn't said anything. This is just
no, and don't do it.
Stiller appeared next to the Democratic governor as he signed an in-person early voting rule into law. The Zoolander star was a vocal supporter of the bill, which GOP legislators have blocked for years in the state Senate. But a lot of tweets came up as, you know, saying maybe he's looking into a career in politics. And like I said, he hasn't said anything about it yet at all. So
he's gotten more vocally political over the past couple of years.
Yep. A petition has surfaced to oust Bryan Singer as director of the movie Red Sonja.
Yeah, the remake.
Yeah, the director, who has been accused of sexual misconduct, including rape, is set to make a reported $10 million from the film.
$10 million?
$10
million. Oh, man.
$10
million.
$10 million.
$10 million.
A recent bombshell expose revealed that four new accusers who say he molested him when they were underage. And the petition was set up by Ralph Malkowitz on change.org. I'm not sure who Ralph Malkowitz
from Wonder Years.
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's
I would say this. The company, they're sort of right now sticking with him. That may fold soon.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, everyone is owed due process. That's for sure. But the company also has an image that they want to maintain. And I don't know. You know, we'll see how this plays out.
And by the way,
because the heat is on, so to speak, for him right now.
By the way, any word on who would be playing Red Sonja? Pulled up by
Susan
IMDb,
Boyle.
But no.
She's too old.
There's no, it doesn't seem to have anybody in the.
I love that character, though.
I did, too.
Yeah, man, was I a fan of Red Sonja.
Brigitte Nielsen?
She was good. She was good as Red Sonja, but I always had a different sort of vision of Red Sonja.
And Arnold was in that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll see. Roma actor Jorge Antonio Guerrero may miss the Oscars.
He plays Cooter.
over a visa. Roma has become one of 2018's most celebrated films with 10 Academy Award nominations. But Jorge Guerrero, who plays Furman in the hit, may not be able to attend the ceremony. So the first time I applied was at the beginning of last year. Back then, I didn't have anything related to the movie, and my intentions were just for tourism.
Don't they have a fast track for Oscar nominees?
He said, but then I started receiving invitations from Netflix in October and November to attend the red carpet to the Golden Globes. Despite attempts on the part of the producers to intervene, his pleas have apparently fallen on deaf ears thus far.
All right, so did anybody see this?
I have not watched it yet. Sorry, Kay. So I can't comment on take on it yet.
I'm just wondering if maybe I've missed the mark on this one.
You probably didn't.
Yeah.
So the Academy likes certain style films. Yeah. And a lot of times, and I think what you've just described, what you described to us before, I can love movies like that.
Right.
And I can hate movies like that. It depends on, like, you know, there have been ones that where they've lavished praise on that I just think are deadly boring and dull. And it's not because I'm some... Well, I am an idiot, but, it's just not my style.
It's very artistically shot, right? Like, you know, long, static,
But you don't necessarily need to think that you're, it's just not your style.
Right.
Yeah, the, what was the one with Leonardo DiCaprio that, he's out in the wild, he's attacked by the bear.
Oh, The Revenant.
The Revenant. Yeah. I mean, that had really long, stagnant,
I love that
beautiful
movie.
Shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe, visually they're going for it, but
that's such a good movie. It was on the other night.
Yeah. But its pacing is really slow as well. So if you don't have the patience for it, you might go, come on, man.
If you were to watch the pacing of movies in the 70s, even.
Yeah.
This where, Preston's right. I mean, after what really helped move these things along or helped. Like a music video chopping. Like,
right.
Like one, two, cut.
Yeah.
One, two, cut.
I sort of have a problem when there is a film that is shot in another language and there are subtitles. I'm like, well, I don't know if the acting is all that great in this because I don't know what they're saying. Do you know what I mean? Like, I watched The Americans on FX and there's a lot of Russian being spoken and then they have the dialogue. And I'm like, this chick could be a terrible actress, but I have no idea because she's totally speaking another language right now. So I don't know if her inflection's right or anything.
If you see a really good performance with so watch the original, watch the movie called Let Me In, the vampire movie from Sweden.
Right.
The performances are great. You're reading subtitles, but you can tell the performances are great.
Yeah.
Just try not to think about that.
Yeah.
And maybe you can
have someone read them to you.
Storyline. So, but
Mommy, can you read me a movie?
All right, the dude still abides. Jeff Bridges tweeted out a teaser video of himself appearing as his iconic character from The Big Lebowski. the 1988 Coen Brothers cult classic, and he did this on Thursday morning yesterday. So he wrote, "Can't be living in the past, man. Stay tuned." And the video shows Bridges dressed as the dude. He just kind of walks through this area. It's the ground is all littered with garbage.
Yeah.
And he just turns the camera and he looks down. He's wearing his sunglasses and you can see his eyes when he looks down. And then he just kind of giggles. And then it concludes with a tumbleweed going past the red carpet and revealing 2-3-19. That's the day of the Super Bowl. And it's unclear at this point whether he is appearing in a Super Bowl ad or
plans
for something larger that will be revealed on that day.
I think there is an ad that he's appearing in. And you know what was great? During the Golden Globes ceremony he received, was it the
Lifetime Achievement or whatever the award is.
Cecil B. DeMille Award.
He loves this character. He loves being associated with the dude. And I love when, you know, yesterday we had Richard Roundtree in and I brought up Shaft. And he's like, he's happy to be associated with it, but it... You can feel he's a little like, you know, enough a little bit with that. But Bridges loves the dude.
I mean, Bridges goes to those Lebowski Fests.
He does.
He doesn't have to do any of that stuff.
We love that.
Yeah, and he doesn't have to do this commercially. He can say that was part of my past and let it go, but he embraces it.
So representative for Bridges declined to comment. The video also ends with a trademark for Universal City Studios, and representatives for Universal did not immediately respond to comments either. There's long been speculation about a Big Lebowski reunion, reboot, or sequel for the film's 20th anniversary. In October of last year, he came in with Steve Buscemi and John Goodman for a lengthy Today Show interview. John Turturro also revived his character, Jesus, the trash-talking bowler, for a planned spinoff film called Going Places. During last year's Super Bowl, Chris Hemsworth faked people out into thinking that there might be a new Crocodile Dundee movie. So they may be doing something fun like that. We'll have to see. Sylvester Stallone may have landed his first starring role in 1970s softcore porn film Italian Stallion.
Which I've seen, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it good?
It's very soft.
Okay, but he's spent the nearly 50 years since proving time and time again that he's a serious film buff who works in nearly every aspect of the industry and has continued to garner respect and acclaim. He has now released information regarding a very early project he never finished, a biographical film regarding the life of Edgar Allan Poe.
Yes! This has always been a dream of his.
Yeah. So Stallone wrote in the caption on his Instagram video,
"Would the raven never war?"
In which he flips through pages of his old script. He wrote, "It's a long road to reach your goals, but it's definitely worth the journey."
Yeah, my name is Edgar Allan Poe. I'm an author.
What?
My name is Edgar Allan Poe. I'm an author.
What are you?
An author?
I'm an author.
What?
I write!
Okay.
Author.
He intended to star in the project before realizing it wasn't exactly right for the part of the gaunt poet and novelist.
I miss my girlfriend. She committed suicide.
He said it may have taken 45 or 50 years, but it's done. In the clip, he says, "Anyway, that's what I'm working on, and it's been one of the great challenges of my life."
Oh, no, you just pissed off the wrong author.
Yeah.
A new take on Edgar Allan Poe. It's going to get bloody. Mask of the Red Death. You just slapped my raven. I'm coming to get you.
he said that it's been one of the great challenges of my life, but like Poe used to say, I promise to take this life by the throat and I shall
beat the piss out of it. coming back for you, I'm saying, hey, Poe, write me something. Write me a quatrain. Miami pentameter my ass.
He said, I promise to take this life by the throat, and I shall not let go until I succeed.
Until it's dead in my hands, and then I'm coming for you. I've buried enough people under the floorboards in my house. I'll do the same to you.
That was a telltale heart, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Did you guys ever read some Poe?
I used to love Poe. I was wrapped up in him around college.
Yeah.
And
that was a field trip that I should do again because I was bored to death of it and by it when I was in middle school. We went to that Poe house in Philly, and I was like, oh, I can't wait for this to wrap up. And now I would like to get back because I appreciate it.
Yeah. I read The Fall of the House of Usher and
great.
Pit and the Pendulum.
So Roger Corman, you know, the great film producer, the cheesy film producer, though, as well, made a whole series of those with Vincent Price and The Fall of the House of the Usher and Mask of the Red Death and The Pit and the Pendulum and all that stuff.
There was one that tried to incorporate, like, several of them in one, I remember. And
it was comedy of...
It wasn't done very well, I thought. I forgot.
It sucked me. It sucked Dead Moose.
Who was it? It sucked Dead Moose?
Yeah.
Okay.
To quote Poe.
I don't remember exactly who was in it, but I recall seeing it, and they tried to incorporate all the different stories. But...
Hello, my name is Edgar Allan Poe, and I'm an author.
Some suggestions from listeners, Rampo?
Yeah.
Rampo.
Yeah, Edgar Allan Bro.
What's that up on the roof? Is that a raven?
It's
like a million ravens on the roof. Like a fluttering their wings like a billion feathers. what am I ears hear? The telltale beating heart. Whoa!
Stammering.
Yeah.
I'm trying
to. The clue that Preston's giving to Casey.
I'm trying to give Casey a clue
to flesh out this bit.
Pull up the clip of Stallone.
Yeah, I got you.
Where
bro.
He's just.
Is that a beating heart?
Yes. Okay.
All right. Isn't.
Anyway,
I think we
is Edgar Allan.
We lost it.
Yeah, we lost
Rampo.
It.
It's gone, guys.
Rampo is a great name, by the way. All right, so
Rocky Popoa.
No word on when that project might come to light or when he might start working on it, but he says it's one of the things that he really wants to do.
He just wrapped up the recent filming of Rambo. I follow him on Instagram.
Rocky stammering, Casey.
Here we go.
Come on, man! It's his birthday!
It literally said Rocky stammering.
It's his birthday.
Oh, my God, I can't find it.
It just said
You're
Rocky.
You're ruining his birthday!
Rocky...
There's about 9 seconds left in this impression.
There it is.
We got it.
Whoa, will you? You know. Ho, ho, ho.
And that's it. We waited all that time for that.
Just for that.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. You guys are awesome. Thank you. Kevin Hart is partnering with STX Films on a pair of comedy movies. The first project is Black Friday, and it is a body-switching comedy based on a story by Don Law. I don't know who that is.
And you said he's leaving these projects?
No, he's partnering with STX Films on a pair. So if it's called Black Friday and it's a body switching comedy.
Oh, it's like Freaky Friday.
It's got to be like Freaky Friday, but I assume it's going to be black and white. I'll bet you that's what it's going to be.
That'd be interesting.
If it's called Black Friday, because I don't remember, you've seen age switches.
They just did one, though, and they were, Casey, they accidentally had the trailer running here in the studio yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's a Freaky Friday thing. They just did it.
With
a young girl and a mother.
Yeah, so that what I was saying is we've seen the gender switches and we've seen the age
not
switches,
the race.
But not the race switches. So I'll bet you that's what they're going with.
There's a new one coming out where Rambo becomes Edgar Allan Poe. Like we're both drinking out of the same water fountain, and then man, I'm suddenly literate.
The second is an untitled romantic comedy. He can be seen in the STX, The Upside, with Bryan Cranston and Nicole Kidman. That film topped the box office expectations, opening in first place and snagged $47 million in his first 11 days of release.
We had Victor Fiorello in here, and he was going through his great list, you know, about, you know, winners and losers of 2018. And he's not a big fan of Kevin Hart's films. I think, you know, I just like him on screen. I like Kevin. He comes across as instantly likable.
Yeah.
Is the stuff, you know, super brilliant? No, but he lived like in Jumanji. I think he's great.
He's great in Jumanji. Yeah. And I keep mentioning Central Intelligence. I thought it was
he's hilarious.
Fun movie, and he was really, really funny in it. But
you know, it's a great scene in that when they're in the bar and they're just sitting there, and the waitress is firing on the. And he every time he tries to talk, I'm not talking to you.
Yes, I love it. All right, speaking of movies, why don't we find out what is opening at the box office on this particular weekend?
This will never get old.
Oh, got three new movies opening this weekend. We'll begin with this one, Serenity. It's a thriller directed by Stephen Knight, and it stars Matthew McConaughey, Anne Hathaway, Jason Clarke, Diane Lane, Jaimin Hansu. It is about Baker Dill's life.
Yeah.
It's turned upside down when his ex-wife Karen shows up desperate for his help.
All right. What's the deal?
It's a thriller. It is rated R. It's an hour and 43 minutes long, and its Rotten Tomatoes score, which is a new feature from my movie previews, is 25%.
So I read a review of it yesterday that called it the first great horrible movie of 2019.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They said it's trying to be... sort of a complex, like a wow, there's a twist, and it just keeps falling flat.
Does the term great horrible movie mean it's horrible, but it's so bad it's great?
I think they were saying that all the firepower behind it should have made it a better movie, not that you should see it regardless.
Also opening this weekend is Stan and Ollie.
I want to see this.
It's a drama directed by John S. Baird. It stars John C. Reilly and Steve Coogan. And it's about Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy as they try to make it big with their live shows in 1953.
Oh, wow.
It is rated PG, an hour and 37 minutes long, and its Rotten Tomatoes score is 92%.
Whoa. So I am a massive fan of Laurel and Hardy. I've always loved their work. And
Did you say Floral and Hardy?
Yeah. Floral and Hardy. John C. Reilly as Oliver Hardy and Steve Coogan as Stan Laurel. Look at they look fantastic. Yeah. Look at the trailer.
And John Reilly must have put on a tremendous amount of weight for this role.
Or his prosthetic or something. I don't know.
Those are damn good prosthetics.
Hey, let me ask you a question about this, because it says 1953. Laurel and Hardy were famous before that. They made a run in film, but this is them, I guess, milking that or trying to get stage work out of it?
As things maybe became a little contentious between the two.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean they were paired together by the movie studio early on, and they have Sons of the Desert and just so many great classic Laurel and Hardy movies that are just masterpieces.
Yeah.
And so as their career, I guess, moved on, this is what this movie focuses in on.
But
the performances look great.
That opens this weekend, and then the other film to open this weekend is The Kid Who Would Be King. It's an adventure, stars Patrick Stewart, Rebecca Ferguson, and a bunch of kids that I'm not familiar with, but they are working their way into the business.
I never heard of this thing before, and apparently people love it.
The story is a boy who uses the legendary sword Excalibur to battle a modern-day enchantress and her evil army. So it's a take on the King Arthur story, Arthurian lore. Rated PG, 2 hours long, and Rotten Tomato scores 86%. So
this
not
is the
a bad
one
score.
of my theory. That still, my theory is holding up about when the movie trailer on TV
gives the date,
has the date and the title of the movie in the upper right and left hand corners.
But this had it, and it's getting good reviews.
Yeah, but I'm my theory can't be 100% accurate, but
thanks
it's
for the
pretty
heads
damn
up.
Close. Yeah.
All right, we'll go into the clips. Based on a true crime, King of Thieves follows a group of retired crooks in London who pull off a major jewelry heist. In this clip, Charlie Cox talks about what it was like to work with James Broadbent, Tom Courtenay, and Michael Caine.
I was pinching myself up until the very last day of shooting that I was invited to this party and allowed even to be in a room with them all. As an actor, those guys are my heroes.
Thing sucks.
So Charlie Cox plays Daredevil on the Netflix series.
Really?
Yes.
He's English?
He is English.
Had no idea.
No idea, right?
King of Thieves hits theaters today. Let's go to the next clip. Sir Patrick Stewart plays Merlin in the new children's movie The Kid Who Would Be King, as we were just talking about. And here the legendary actor jokes about finally fitting in with his contemporaries.
It was only a matter of acting justice that I was asked to play this role, because Ian McKellen and Michael Gambon have already amazed the world by their interpretations of a wizard. I felt rather left out of this exclusive little circle.
You know, Patrick Stewart is actually a real goofball.
He is.
If you've ever seen videos of him in his private life, he's just a goofy guy.
Or look at the outtakes of Next Generation.
Oh,
so
really?
He's playing the stalwart Captain Picard.
Yeah.
And watch the outtakes.
I have got to. Yeah. I've never seen outtakes from Next Generation.
Yes. He'll do like
Like, he'll screw up a line, he'll make faces, he's great.
The kid who would be king is in theaters this Friday. He's a big pot smoker, too.
He is. And he loves heroin?
No.
And hookers, and he also sells guns illegally.
Wait, no, real quick. Steve, was he famous before Next Generation?
He was a character actor in England. He's in Preston. I know you're a fan of the movie Excalibur, as am I. He's in that. You'd see him popping up all over the place. But he was a from left field choice for the Next Generation. Even I was like, who is this? How can a bald guy be talented? Knowing from personal experience, and then he was great.
Yeah. The kid who would be king is in theaters on Friday, as I said before. And there you go. That's what I have for you in the entertainment report this morning. Hey, we have a secret text word up and running today. 3-day reserve seat passes to see Fish. They're at the BB&T Pavilion June 28th through the 30th. And tickets go on sale today at 11 a.m. So text the word fish. And do I even need to tell you how to spell that word? Because
you know what?
Yes, I'm not going to.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Because you should be a fan.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
215-263-WMMR. Text the word fish to 39333. We'll see if you can win a little bit later on this morning. Piccolo Leanne is stopping by. We'll do some giveaways with them. Adam McKay will be on the program today. He's up for multiple Oscars and SAG Awards, by the way. And don't forget, I have an appearance. I want to hit this a few times today. Noon to 2, I will be at the Acme in Roxborough, their grand reopening MMRBQ VIP experiences to give away. We have a TV that we're giving away, which is the big game watch package, and Acme gift cards and stuff like that. And they're having a birthday cake for me.
You know what? That's... I might. Can I stop by? I don't want to screw up your jam there.
Please.
But I mean, those are my peeps.
That's your acting.
And it would be nice to wish you a happy birthday on location.
You know what? Yeah. Can Steve stop by?
Yeah.
All right, good.
All right, cool. All right, so that is today from noon to 2. Come and join me. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment or two. Lots of things to get to. And I failed to mention go fund yourself, so $1,000 could be yours. Yeah, we'll get to that in less than an hour. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, real quick, I want to mention our friends from Piccolo Leanne are stopping by today. They're in Chamonix, New Jersey. And they're doing what we call a meet and eat. And they come by and they feed our guests who are here. And they give us some giveaways. And we promote their location and their food and all that good stuff. And if you are a restaurant owner or manager, you are interested in the same thing, you can get in touch with us. We have a chance for you to win an opportunity to come by and get the advertising package that one would normally pay for. It's very easy to do. You just go to contests@WMMR.com, look for the Meet and Eat giveaway, click on that, the information's there. If you're chosen, you need to come by here next Thursday and have food prepared for about 20 people, and you need to be here by 7:30. So keep in mind, the deadline to enter this is at 11 a.m. today. So go ahead, we'll promote your restaurant and the food that you brought in throughout the course of the morning. So if you'd like to do that, once again, go to contests@WMMR.com and look for the Meet and Eat giveaway. And if you know somebody who's a restaurant owner, might not be awake, might not be listening, make sure you let them know. But the deadline is today at 11 a.m.
Wake them up, right?
Don't miss out on the... Yeah, exactly. I noticed some things that I thought were worth bringing up to you guys this morning.
It's a birthday edition of The Noticer.
It is.
The Noticer celebrating a birthday, and his noticing abilities have never been stronger or more acute.
They're very sharp on
my
birthday.
Very sharp.
Yes. So the candy conversation hearts, you know, the little ones?
Yeah.
That say cute little sayings on
right.
them.
And they're horrible candy.
Yeah.
They are
horrible.
They don't taste.
They taste like chalk.
They're chalky.
Yeah, they taste like chalk. But they're delightful little messages on them.
But they have been a part of Valentine's Day for so long that you just expect to see them. They're not going to be around this year.
You know why?
Hmm.
The mine where they got them from collapsed.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Did it trap anybody?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
But they're able to subsist on a diet of little candy hearts.
The candies previously made by Necco, which I never liked those.
Necco wafers. Yeah. Same sucky candy.
Yeah. But the people who love them. They were emblazoned with messages like be mine and love and call me. They're not around this year. In fact, also the popular brand Sweethearts are going to be missing from store shelves.
Were there issues with the production?
Wait. It says Sweethearts. Does that mean sweet tarts?
No. I think, hold
what
on.
What are Sweethearts?
I
thought those were the hearts, the little hearts.
I think they're the little red candies, no?
No.
I think there's probably two.
You're thinking of birth control.
Oh.
No, no, the Sweethearts are the Little Hearts. That's
yeah. Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
He's right.
Well, see, we learned stuff right within our own story.
I didn't know that that's what I was thinking, Sweet Tarts. And I was like, wow, that's pretty odd.
But now, now it's hitting me where I live.
They're expected to make the return in 2020. Spangler Candy Company, an Ohio maker of Circus Peanuts and Dum Dum Lollipops.
Circus Peanuts.
I hate those.
You know what? Those aren't really peanuts.
No, they're not.
It's candy.
But I do like Dum Dum's case.
Yeah.
I hate Circus Peanuts. And I was in sort of, where was I? I was like at an AC Moore the other day, and on the impulse item aisle on the way out.
Yeah.
They had all of those. They had Circus Peanuts. They had something called Peach Rings.
Yeah.
You know, and those, whatever the things.
Sea Rings.
Those things are, no. They're supposed to look like little orange slices.
Oh, yeah, I like those.
Horrible.
I used to like those.
No, those are good.
Them.
And then the green ones, like they're supposed to be like little mint leaves.
Are you disagreeing with Preston on his birthday?
No, I was disagreeing with you.
Oh, so the like for a brief period of time, it's funny. I loved Circus Peanuts.
I did too.
And right.
Yeah.
And now I despise them.
Wait, what is the difference
between liking and disliking?
No, between regular peanuts.
Oh, Circus Peanuts.
Why are you calling them Circus Peanuts?
Oh, my God.
Because there's orange marshmallowy things.
Yeah, they're not peanuts.
They're just printed to look like peanuts.
Yeah.
Next is a
scam.
Somebody pull up a picture of Circus Peanuts, and Kathy, as soon as you see a photo of these.
I'm going to know.
You'll know what they are. Maybe you never knew the name of it.
Oh, okay. And they're just like, they're a marshmallow candy.
They're marshmallows,
yeah.
Okay, got it.
But Marissa, what do you like, the little orange things, or do you like Circus Peanuts?
Well, have you guys ever had the watermelon ones?
Yes, I like those.
Do you?
No.
I used to. I feel like now I haven't had them in years. I don't know if I actually still like them.
You know, when you get tired of eating dried insulin, that's when you move out of this.
Like you're talking about like the sugared watermelon. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, somebody makes
jellies.
Make a sour one. But my absolute favorite are the Coke bottles.
Oh, wow.
The gummy Coke bottles.
Oh, I hate those.
The ones where you pinch off the top and there's liquid inside?
No. They look like a bottle
of Coke. She just
eats
Coke bottles.
It's okay. Clear on
She's
the
like
top.
A circus sideshow.
Yeah, but you know what, Marissa?
It's just a gummy.
It's not the same thing. Those are gummies. These are jellies. Like, the consistency is way different in those little orange slices and the mint slices than
He's
they are
right.
in those Coke bottle thingies.
They're not quite as chewy.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow... And I've kind of given up on that side of candy. I'm more just chocolate based now.
I feel like it's a waste. I did used to, like Marissa said, the watermelon things. I used to love them, but I feel like that's a waste of calories. If I'm going to eat it, I'm going to eat chocolate.
I can't stand the notion of sweatshops where little kids are required to make false little peanut prints in these things all day long. Yeah. Just tears my heart out.
I talked about these candies at some point last year, and I thought they had all gone away. But do you remember the BB Bats, Kathy? I have them right here. BB Bats.
Yeah,
you
remember
these?
Those. They're disgusting.
It's like a taffy pop.
Yeah, and I thought they had gone away, and I was at Q-Mart. I was at Q-Mart in Quakertown, and they had them there, so I bought some there, and then a listener sent these to me.
Case, they're all back because of the nostalgia of it.
Oh, yeah. I used to love these.
Well,
Casey has a bag of them.
I was talking, he was not paying attention to me.
Listen, you know why? Because I'm looking at a video that Nick pulled up of somebody putting a circus peanut in a microwave.
We have to do that.
And just like regular marshmallows, it expands in size. It gets really, really big. So I'm looking at this monstrosity.
That is too funny.
While you had these over here. I'm sorry, Casey.
Banana flavor is the best in those.
I liked the banana flavor, too.
Have one. It's your birthday.
I don't want one right now, but I will. Because these will pull your fillings out.
Oh, God. Yeah. And kill you at an early age.
But, Casey, I still think I like these.
Yeah.
All right. But anyway,
moving on.
So the Necco wafer went bye-bye. It was purchased. This company, Spangler Candy Company, purchased Necco wafers and Sweethearts in 2018 after Necco went out of business. It had manufactured Sweethearts more than 130 years.
Goes back that far?
Yeah. So they are going to stop. They're not going to be available this year, but next year you'll be able to get them back.
Wait, I'm sorry. Why are they doing just 1 year?
I don't know.
They're probably getting everything back up online.
Yeah, maybe they have to. There's some, physical things they have to take care of.
They have to get the dead rats out of the machine.
Seriously?
Because they've been inert for about half a year.
Yeah.
There's a dead squirrel in the heart machine.
Well, you remember Twinkies went away for a little while, right?
Yeah.
Did they?
To see the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that. All right. So I noticed that's one thing. But by the way, Valentine's Day is approaching. Keep that in mind.
The birthday noticer.
I noticed a piece of audio that I never notice audio, but I noticed
the noticer never notices audio, but on his birthday,
He
notices audio.
Rent is going to be live on Fox on Sunday night.
I love these shows. Yeah. I love them all. There was one or two that I thought were substandard. I think the Rocky Horror Picture Show was not really worth a damn.
Yeah.
But I loved Grease.
Grease was great.
Still have it on my DVR.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to this, to Rent.
So Steve sent over a video of the cast, or some of the cast. It doesn't appear to be everybody, but they're singing Seasons of Love, which is the overall theme of the of Rent, and it's really great.
If
and
you don't like this song, I don't get it.
It's I actually got choked up.
Yeah. Did you really?
Well, yeah. It's
happy.
Yeah.
Crying?
Yeah, it's so because it sounds so good. And now they sing a lot of it in unison, but when they go into the harmonies, it's really beautiful. But they
that how about love part?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And this is just the beginning of it. Towards the end, it even gets more complex. But and Vanessa Hudgens is one of the the performers.
She's really good.
Yeah. So let me. And I haven't found out. I'm looking at a picture of the, maybe she's playing Maureen. I'm not sure. But anyhow.
She's playing Cooter.
Here's the, here's a little bit of the audio. It's really great.
Here we go. 3, 2, 3, 4. 525,600 minutes. 525,000 moments, oh dear. 525,600 minutes. How do you measure a year? In daylight, in sunset, in midnights, in cups of coffee, in inches, in miles, in laughter, and strides. In 525,600 minutes, how do you measure a year in the life?
Who's the harmony?
How about love? How about love? How about love? Measuring love. Seasons of love. Seasons of love.
That's so good.
The music in the show is so good. My wife and I went to see it without knowing anything about it other than this is the show to go see.
Right.
And we were just like sitting there with our jaws on the floor just because the performances were so great.
Do you guys want to try it? River Valley Vocal Band? Do you guys want to try it?
I think it's something we should set as a goal. We've already did right Afternoon
right
Delight.
I think we should do it right now.
Yeah, we can do it.
Do you have the lyrics? I don't know the...
I don't know the
monitor, if you want.
All right. This is morning voice. You got to understand our concerts are always at night.
This is a very rare performance of the River Valley Vocal Band. Those of you here in our studio, what a treat.
This was like when Sonny Bono and Cher sang on the Letterman show impromptu.
Right. Kathy, you're the bass, right?
Yes.
Yes, I think I can handle that.
No.
La, la.
That's it. We did it.
One more time.
La.
Oh, my God.
That's it. Go
walk
on
away.
There.
We're done.
We can't,
walk away.
We can't do any better.
We're not
but we're
say.
Going to. Let's do it.
We are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
2, 3, 4.
525. One more time.
Wait, you're trying to harmonize.
Oh, God. Yeah,
it's supposed to be in unison.
All right, let's do it. Ready?
We got six syllables in.
Yeah. I almost fell out of
the chair. Hey, we aced five.
Yeah. Started strong.
One more time.
First
one.
2, 3, 4.
525,600 minutes.
Should I go low or high?
You know what?
All right, try high this time. Try high this time. Okay. 2, 3, 4.
525,600 minutes. Nick's choking.
All right. I can't. Hang on. I need to drink water. Hang on. All right.
Have some water.
Have some water. Yes. Let us know when you're
all right. I think maybe we should just get to the how about love part, guys. What do you say?
All right. That's the toughest part.
How does that go? I don't.
How about love?
All right. You got that?
I got it.
All right.
All right.
Okay. No this problem. Time, I'll only count to three.
Okay.
Because it leads
on three or after three?
I say 1, 2, 3. How about?
Okay.
Ready?
Okay.
All right.
Oh, that was bad.
All right. Everybody get the sillies out.
Okay.
Seriously.
Seriously.
Guys, this is about AIDS, all right?
All right.
That's true.
One, two, three. How about love?
Wait, no.
You just said get the sillies out.
Maybe I shouldn't drink water.
I get it. You find AIDS funny.
We should have stopped it.
Should we call Justin?
Oh, God.
How much are you drinking over there?
Not much.
Okay.
Not much. Just enough to clear out all the phlegm.
A man died performing bread today.
All right, here we go.
Casey's crying.
We're going to do How About Love?
It's so emotional.
Okay.
This song.
All right, count us down again, Preston.
Right, one, two, three.
How about love?
How about love?
Measuring love. Seasons of love.
Okay, we got it.
Wow.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. That was a success for sure.
Sunday. I'll tell you what.
Sunday at, I forgot what time, 7, I think.
Our 5 was perfect.
Why even tune in? You just heard the whole thing right
now.
Our
harmony before that was pretty solid, I think. Don't call Justin. Are you calling Justin now? I see the hotline.
I texted him.
Oh, no.
He's calling us.
I don't want to say
that. He will.
I don't want to talk to him.
There's an alarm that went off.
He sang with such ability. He's like Batman. Whenever there's horrific singing, there's a musical note that starts flashing.
Everybody's agreeing on the text message. The beginning was good.
Yeah.
Somebody said, let's move on.
Yes. All right, let's move on.
Love.
Okay. I noticed other things.
The Noticer noticed. Is this more audio from the Noticer?
No.
It's not?
Well, I can, yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Right, why not? I noticed another piece of audio that Steve sent me. The Price is Right.
Piece of audio.
The Price is Right. Apparently.
The Price is Right.
Terrible.
So good, Cal.
They called a woman to be a member of Contestants Row, but there was something up, and I'm just going to play the audio. Okay. There we go.
Tara Armstrong, come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right. Tara Armstrong, come on down.
The pan in the audience.
Is she? She's in the bathroom.
Really?
Yeah. I wonder if that's the first time in history on that show
that's actually happened.
She's in the bathroom.
And she goes, and then she comes running down the
aisle. Oh, that's so funny. Aisle.
I went to a taping of The Price is Right one time. It was a lot of fun. It was when Bob Barker was a host.
That's so cool.
And what's amazing, and we're looking at video of it right now, the studio is a lot smaller than you think it is.
All studios, when you see them in person, appear so small.
Yeah, they have a way to make it look larger the angles they use and everything. And I was like, wow. And I started thinking, I could get called down for this. There's not as many people here as I thought there was. I didn't get called down. But.
Yeah. I remember going to see The Tonight Show when we were out in L.A. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is like half the size. Yeah. It looks sprawling on television.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess she got up there. I don't know how she did in the show itself.
She had poop all over her hands.
Raced, toilet paper hanging from her.
Raced out of the bathroom.
Piss running down her leg.
You know what we never brought up was the lady that got to the final round of Wheel of Fortune and did not get $1 million. I brought it up to you guys a week or two ago, and I felt so terrible for her because she made it through all the steps and was this close to getting the clue right at the very end. It was on a Friday night, I think about 2 weeks ago.
So during the initial part of the show, you have to land on the proper slot of the wheel.
Yeah.
Then you have to give a letter that they actually is in the puzzle. And then they give you that board and you hang on to it. And then if you make it to the final spin, then you have an opportunity to spin the tiny wheel. And then it lands randomly on an envelope. They pull it up. And if that has $1 million on it. So once you win that first part, then that means they're going to put the $1 million envelope and the tiny wheel. So she did all those steps. They don't reveal it till the end.
You have to make it all the way through. Now, if you go bankrupt at any time, you lose it all.
Yeah. So you have to win so many steps just to get to the opportunity to win a million.
So is this the... Yeah, we have the audio?
M-P.
All right, she's choosing her letters. I'm going to skip past this part. Here we go.
Okay, what are you doing is the category. You have 10 seconds to talk it out. Good luck.
Flipping through. Flipping through.
Oh, that's a guy who's in the street who filmed it on his phone.
Thrill, pugs, patrons.
Oh. Yeah, and obviously...
You're an idiot.
It just didn't come to the very end. I didn't see that.
What was the puzzle?
I don't remember. Through. But she got it. Flipping through pages, maybe?
Jerking the gherkin.
No, not jerking the gherkin. She got it half a second after it was revealed. And then Pat opens up the envelope. No.
Here we go.
I know.
She had it. She knew it.
That's a guy filming.
I don't want to see it.
Don't do it to her, Pat.
Don't do it, really Pat. Well, please, Pat.
Pat, I'll fly out there and put my foot up your ass.
Be gentle.
$15,000.
Not bad. $15K. Not bad. Oh no.
Is that you, Nick?
Oh, no.
This is. You can watch Wheel of Fortune with director's commentary.
Oh,
I didn't know.
It's Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So, man, she had the chance to win, man.
That's such a bummer. Anytime I watch that show, why do they open it at the end?
I've seen the other way, though, Kathy. I saw one time and it blew my mind. You want $1 million? He turned to her and it was like,
well, then they cut. Yeah. Commercial pretty fast.
Yeah. After
that. So, like, they did not stick around, and then they came back from commercial, and she was no longer on stage. She was just
sobbing somewhere.
Devastated. You just saw her feet hanging by Pat's head.
She hung herself.
She climbed up to the rigging.
Wow. All right, anyhow, I did notice some other things. Let me move on.
The Noticer.
Yeah.
Three pieces of audio on the Noticer's birthday.
This is a little bit more on the serious side, but I did notice this. It was released just a couple days on day 33 of the government shutdown. Did you guys see this? The National Air Traffic Controllers Association, President Paul Rinaldi, along with Airline Pilots Association President Joe DePete and Association of Flight Attendants President Sarah Nelson, released a statement basically saying... it's not very safe to fly right now.
Did you see this? They asked them directly, is it safe to fly now? And they said it is less safe than it was 2 weeks ago or whenever this statement was released.
Because of TSA, either people that are furloughed and some people aren't coming to work.
And it's mainly the, I shouldn't say mainly, it's everybody, but the air traffic controllers, because they're so, their job is so stressful. And now they have people that... are not getting paid, so the stress is just added on to it, they were saying.
Yeah, they wrote, we have a growing concern for the safety and security of our members, our airlines, and the traveling public due to the government shutdown. This is already the longest government shutdown in the history of the United States. There's no end in sight, and our risk-averse industry, we cannot even calculate the level of risk currently at play, nor predict the point at which the entire system will break. It is unprecedented, they said. So I don't know what that means for travel plans for you, if you're concerned with anything like that. But they issued...
I'd just bring a gun.
A full line.
Oh, my God. Stop.
Well, you might be able to get it on.
Protect yourself.
Yeah. So they've mentioned that. And we're going to spring training very soon. So
once we show up... They'll go, they're in radio.
Yeah.
Let them
We
through.
Need to protect them.
We should all just pile into an RV and drive
down. No, thank you.
Dear God.
I'll
stay here and do traffic.
Yeah. Let's bring Kathy along for that.
Nope.
Careful. Nervous Kathy driving.
Could you even imagine?
We drove to Florida one time, actually a few times as kids, and no. I remember once we flew, I'm like, why would we ever drive again?
Well, the thing about those long drives is if you're trying to get there, in one shot without stopping and staying, I can't stand that type of driving. If you're doing like what Casey had an idea of traveling the country
and
going for 2 hours and stopping and hanging out, that's
south
not
of
so
the
bad.
Border, stopping but, in Georgia.
But when you try to do the we're driving 20 hours and we're not stopping.
Oh, and that's what we would do. My dad, it was like a goal for my dad to get to Orlando because we would go to Disney. And to get to Orlando in a specific time or under the time we did last year, whatever it was.
Yep.
But, I mean, and the reason we flew was, you know, my parents had two kids and to fly with four people, it can be expensive.
And, of course, your nannies and your...
Right,
I don't mind. I don't mind driving at all. It's just getting out of this general area is the part that sucks the most. Like, so if you're going up north, like... It doesn't everything through Connecticut is just boring.
So fly to Raleigh and rent a car.
Yeah, right. So and then going south, just getting out of Virginia. Like, oh man, I really don't like that state. Like I don't like driving in that state.
So what Preston said, we've done the driving down to Florida and stopping along the way. Mm-hmm. I got that out of my system, and that's cool. But I mean, otherwise, if you can do it, with flights are cheap to Florida too.
Yeah.
All right, so anyhow, keep that in mind.
You noticed it's not safe to fly.
You might be traveling. Can I notice one more thing?
Yeah.
Right, one more thing to be noticed from the noticer.
I'll ask you guys.
The birthday edition.
What you would rather hear about. Would you rather hear about 5 minutes increasing your happiness or all the different facial expressions to convey happiness?
Ooh, both.
Can the noticer combine them?
All right, I'll try and do story? This. It turns out there's a lot of different ways to look happy. Ohio State University researchers compiled a list of 821 words that expressed emotions and had them translated to a number of languages. They were entered into popular search engines, and the team collected approximately 7.2 million images of facial expressions from the internet. They crunched the numbers and say that the human face is capable of configuring itself into 16,384 unique
16,025?
Yep. But they found just 35 of these expressions are transferable across different cultures, meaning that there are 35 universal facial expressions that other people of other cultures will understand what message you're conveying.
So I wonder if genetically, you know, across all races and across all
cultures. Yeah.
If the musculature of your face would naturally react the same way to a happy situation.
Right.
Is a smile a muscle driven involuntary reaction, or is it a cultural reaction
learned
to something that makes you happy?
It's a good question. Babies smile,
right?
You know,
and they're stupid.
And they're look how dumb they are.
They crap in their pants.
Yeah. But babies tend to smile when they're happy. But
so I think that would stand to foster the notion that it's an involuntary reaction.
So apparently, for when you're feeling happy, they have found that there are 17 different facial expressions that tell those around us that we are feeling happy. Now, it doesn't go into details what those are.
Eddie Vedder face in that?
from Jeremy from the video? Would that be happy?
Casey looks happy when he does it.
I'm so happy. Hey, man, I'm happy.
Because it's more than just the mouth, too. There's an eye thing going on there. Yeah. It's like a... The eyes are more like confused.
Yeah.
Hey.
What's my mouth doing?
Yeah. Let's go.
What's going on with my mouth and nose?
Does not look like happiness.
Have you ever, as far as facial expressions go, now actors have to be able to call upon facial expressions to convey emotions.
Wait, to convey the most, when you're on a super large screen, you have to be subtle.
Yeah.
You can't be going, I'm so happy.
Have you ever looked in the mirror and gone through your facial expressions?
Of course. I never look in the mirror. I don't want
to
see that.
To try, because you may think you're conveying one message, but your face is actually not in the shape that you may think it is unless you look at the mirror, and while you're making this face, you know what it feels like to make that face.
So it's we talk about The Passage, right? And Mark Paul Gosselaar, there's a scene where he's with this little girl, and I was bringing up, there was a subtle scene where he's being reprimanded by the little girl, but he gives the slightest little, you're cute. You know, he approves of her sassiness.
Yep.
But it's this, we are attuned to read those subtle movements.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing to do. If you've never done it, look in the mirror and watch your expressions, or kind of close your eyes and express
play with yourself.
No,
in front of the mirror.
What does this look like? Try not to peek, right? What does this look like when I...
No, make a facial expression with your eyes closed and then open your eyes and see what it really looks like as opposed to what you may think it looks like.
You ever
like.
See the old shots of the... They even do it now. The old Disney cartoonists looking in the mirror as they're as they're drawing the reaction, you know, and trying to replicate that.
And they can exaggerate certain, you know, things like an eyebrow or whatever, or your brow area.
Albright.
All right. So this, in conjunction with that, about making you happy, all right, Casey, give me the wrap-up signal. Just 5 minutes in nature will increase happiness.
5 minutes outside.
Outside amongst wildlife.
I buy that.
100%. I do too.
So I spend, I will go out every day for about an hour, hour plus.
Yeah.
And commune with nature.
Mm-hmm. Even in this freezing cold?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. I get bundled up and I go with my dog and we reenact classic scenes from Old Yeller.
Wow. Now, my son and I have been going on hikes lately in state parks and local parks.
Are they not wonderful and contemplative? And
it is.
And so the cool part is, so I go down, there's a whole bunch of areas where I am over by Mount Airy and Germantown. Excuse me, I'm getting emotional. You know, you're technically in the city still, you know, but you're in just getting that little removal.
Even 5 minutes, you're saying. So they did these studies with people inside a closed room and then people in outside. And the data revealed those sitting outside experienced an increase in what they call hedonic emotions before and after the test, while those in the indoor setting did not. Similarly, those in outdoor settings experienced a greater increase in feeling self-transcendent emotions, meaning there's something bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
I hedonic that emotion.
Compared to those who sat indoors. Additionally, those who spent just 5 minutes outside reported feeling a sense of awe.
And they don't say whether it's cold or whatever,
They just said when you need an emotional boost, the fastest and easiest way is to spend a few minutes with nature.
By the way, notice here, just one more quick thing to jump in about. I saw that there's been a lot of talk about the thing that you talked about a while ago, which is if you want to kill hunger pangs for a particular food, just smelling it for a... And they're saying the science is sound on that.
No kidding.
For the majority of people, simply smelling something that you would want to have as a, you know, a little, eat potato chips or whatever, a cake, smell it for a minute.
And can satisfy you for
It'll
the time
satisfy
being.
You.
Okay, nice. All right. These are things that have been noticed today.
The notice of the birthday edition.
I also notice it's 7:50, so we got to break and get back quickly because we need to give you $1,000. And that is with GoFund Yourself, so we're going to do that very thing when we get back. Stay with us.
Go Fund Yourself.
Fund you.
Why are you calling us?
Because I want $1,000.
You just won $1,000.
Thank you so much, MMR freaking rock.
Tune in weekdays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., as well as 1, 4, and 6 p.m. to hear that hour's winning keyword. Enter it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. One random entry is picked each time and wins $1,000 in cash. Plus, everyone who enters qualifies for the second chance drawing to win $10,000. MMR's Go Fund Yourself, sponsored by Armor Metals and Recycling. For all your metal and computer recycling needs, complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com.
Thank you, Kathy. We have a secret text word up and running today. We have a 3-day reserved seat, pair of tickets each for 3 days for Fresh Fish. BB&T Pavilion, June 28th to the 30th. And tickets go on sale today at 11 a.m. But if you text the word secret to 393, oh, no, not the word secret, the word fish. All right. If you text word fish, properly spelled, to 39333, you just might win later on. We'll send a word back to you, ask you to call in with that word. Designated caller is going to win those tickets. All right. Now we can do the bizarre file.
What the hell is going on?
I don't know.
What's happening?
Well, you had already played the B file thing. And
did?
Yeah, I guess you hit it. My bad.
No, I didn't hit it.
It's playing around you.
Okay.
It's right there. It Where? Says it right here. It says bizarre file.
Okay.
And you played 38 seconds of it.
Oh, I don't remember hitting
I don't
that
know.
Button.
Hey, listen, it's your birthday. I messed up. I am so
no,
sorry.
No, don't worry about it. Just whenever you're ready.
How what do you spell bizarre file?
B-I-Z.
Where's that sound coming from? There's nothing on here.
I where is it?
Yeah, see,
oh,
I
think... I... is that?
Okay.
This is
about the had it.
What the f*** is this?
No, I've had.
I'll provide the tirade.
Go ahead, Steve.
What the f*** is this? The f*** is that? What the f***? Where's that sound coming from? There's nothing on here.
Did that ever stop, by the way?
The sound?
The sound on your computer?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what the official issue was with it, but...
We have a tirade in a can.
That's where that came from. Okay, now we're ready.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
What the f***?
Brought to you this morning by Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas. Something for all of the snow lovers in your family at Jack Frost and Big Boulder. Skiing, snowboarding, or snow tubing. You can go to jfbb.com and you can save up to 50% on lift tickets. JFBB, where the snow comes first. So we'll start with a Florida woman. She's behind bars after deputies said she threatened an employee and danced naked outside a Pensacola Waffle House. An employee...
Waffles do that to me, too.
An employee told Freedom Rider Zobrist to leave the restaurant Monday because she had been causing trouble.
Can, I'm a waffle queen.
Zobrist fled but returned later saying that she wanted to get a gun and then shoot the employee and everyone inside.
She was upset, Preston, because she couldn't get butter into each little square.
Oh, is that what it was? We know people who have issues with that. The employee told deputies that Zobrist then took off her pants, danced naked in the restaurant parking lot, and tried to grab his genitals.
This is my vagina. Enjoy your breakfast.
The employee said that Zobrist also licked his face.
Wow.
And poked his chest.
All right.
She was arrested on charges of indecent exposure, simple assault, battery, and disturbing the peace.
And she missed the PTA meeting.
In India, a man was killed by lions after scaling a 20-foot barrier at a zoo and then jumping inside the lion enclosure. I don't know. People do this from time to time, man.
Well, you can't blame the zoo. There was a 20-foot enclosure.
Yeah, the incident happened at the Kitbir Zoo. Authorities saw the man climbing the barrier and tried to talk him into coming down, but he jumped inside the enclosure. One of the lions saw the man falling in and immediately attacked him, just like went after him right away.
This is going to be good.
Another lion.
This is going to be good.
Another lion joined in the attack. Rescue teams were not able to get to the man until the lions left him alone. Of course, he died from his injuries. The lions involved in the attack are Asiatic lions. They are critically endangered, and only about 500 of them exist in the wild.
They said he looks as if he'd been mauled by lions.
Yeah. Hey, a kid named Ace Davis is a fifth grader in Lexington, Kentucky, and he recently won his school's science fair.
Wow.
What he did is tackle a controversial subject, which is Tom Brady a cheater?
Did you see his presentation?
Yeah.
His presentation was awesome.
He won the entire science fair. It was on a trifold poster board.
And what did he conclude?
He had ironclad evidence that Tom Brady is indeed a cheater. Then his dad, Christopher, went on Facebook with the caption, hater level 100. And it caught the attention of a Bills fan who interviewed Ace to get some insight into his scientific process. Turns out Ace, who plays QB himself, really doesn't like Brady, and he's not shy about it. He said, because I hate Tom Brady, he's been accused of cheating before, and I want him to be caught. Ace doesn't stop at Brady, accusing Julian Edelman of taking steroids and Rob Gronkowski of pushing people around. He wrote in his conclusion, the Patriots were found guilty of doctoring footballs, thus losing $1 million in future draft picks. Tom Brady is indeed a cheater. But what does the little guy think is going to happen on Super Bowl Sunday? He said, Julian Edelman pushes everyone around. Gronkowski gets shut down. Gurley runs for 2 touchdowns. Brady plays terrible. 3 interceptions. Rams win 30-14.
Damn.
And as far as the state science fair, where Ace has progressed after winning his elementary school, he said, I'm going to win that, too.
All right. So where is he from? Did you indicate?
Lexington, Kentucky.
Okay.
Yep. So, yeah, it's not that he's... He's not like
a Jets fan.
Right,
or, okay.
Right.
Just has issues.
Yep. An American missionary has been accused of exposing an isolated indigenous tribe in Brazil to potentially fatal diseases. A guy named Steve Campbell.
This is a wild story.
A missionary linked to a Baptist church in Maine is being investigated by officials from FUNAI, the Brazilian government's indigenous affairs department, amid reports that he could be tried for genocide.
Oh, the charge is genocide because he's introduced disease into this remote tribe that just does not have exposure to the outside world.
Yeah, and I guess this tribe is considered its own race of sorts and therefore genocide.
And that's been the issue. You can't, you know, they don't, it's illegal to go near them.
They want to be left alone. Yeah. He allegedly entered an area occupied by the Hai Marima tribe last month while carrying out a missionary work with natives from a neighboring tribe. The latest comes just 2 months after another story. Remember this guy, John Chu,
yeah.
Chow, who was killed on North Sentinel Island where native people have lived for 30,000 years. The Hai Marima is one of a few dozen isolated communities in Brazil that have had almost no contact with the outside world. Natives there have previously rejected attempts at contact. It's unclear what penalties Campbell may face, with federal prosecutors or police officials yet to be notified of his actions.
These tribes just want to be left alone to work on their space programs.
In letters to his family members, he asked loved ones not to blame the natives if I am killed. This is John Chow, the guy who was killed. So, responding to reports of Campbell's arrest, Stephen Corey, the director of Survival International, said fundamentalist Christian Americans must be stopped from this primitive urge to contact previously uncontacted tribes. He said it may lead to the martyrdom they seek, but always ends up killing tribes people. So they're serious about it.
Did you ever see Green Inferno?
I did not. No.
There's every reason why you don't want to go.
Yeah, right.
Press just wants the first, what, half hour?
First half hour.
Yeah, it looks pretty nasty. Yeah. All right, and then we'll do this last story. The Browns, NFL football team, Cleveland Browns. Their marketing executives wanted employees to see how fans were engaging with the Browns on social media. So they projected the Browns feed onto a giant wall at their facility. So it was like broadcasting talk radio over the entire building.
Whoops.
And one day in particular, it was worse than that. So one of the marketing staffers entered in a search for the hashtag DP for dog pound.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Kathy, do you have any idea what DP stands for in the world of pornography?
Double.
Right.
Double penetration.
Yeah. Got it.
Is what it stands for. The problem was the hashtag carried a few different meanings, of course, which triggered an array of porn to be broadcast onto the wall for the entire office to see for more than 20 minutes. So, yeah, the tech employee eventually killed the feed. And they got it off of there, but there were DP.
They replaced it with Assmaster.
So you heard that correctly. The Browns accidentally streamed porn inside their facility by projecting Twitter search results for DP onto a wall.
Oh, man.
For the entire office to see so that they could get an idea of what Dog Pound fans thought about the team. So
I guess that's what they think about the team.
Maybe that's what they think about the team. I don't know.
It's like in Hollywood movies when they talk about the director of photography. They always refer to it as the DP. And I'm like, oh, boy, my brain messed this up.
And there you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. Pickalillian is here.
Pickalillian.
And they brought by some fantastic food. As always, their wings are tops, man. Buffalo wings and tails, buffalo chicken egg rolls.
Just had that.
They come in mild, spicy, hot, smoker, or garlic parmesan. Do you know which variety you had?
What's out there? Is it the smoker variety? What variety is it? Smoker. It's delicious.
Smoker.
Freaking smoker.
I have a $50 gift card to Pickalillian and Chamon. So we'll take caller number 12 at 215-263-WMMR for the Pickalillian. And we will set you up with that. Make the trip to the pick before the big game. Get 10 wings, 10 tails, and 10 ears for just $35. And you can order takeout or bring home the best from Pickalillian in 609-268-2066 is the number. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a moment. Our buddy Adam McKay is going to be on the show a little bit after 9 o'clock to talk about Vice. So keep that in mind. And you might have a minute left to get the word share over to us for Go Fund Yourself through MMR's mobile app or WMMR.com. SHARE. So do that right now. We'll be back in just a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Rival Sons. Godsmack. The Revivalists.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Thanks, Kath. I'm at Acme in Roxborough today from noon to 2. Stop by. We got a lot of stuff to give away, including MMRBQ tickets, and you might win a TV and some other stuff. Have some birthday cake. But, Nick, you've got an appearance this weekend you wanted to mention as well, correct?
Yeah, it's at Harris, one of our favorite places, tomorrow. The Harris in Chester, by the way, Harris, Philly. And it's 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. They are opening up the book. And so you can check out the sports gambling operation that they have there. So that's 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. tomorrow night, Harris in Philly.
Cool. Excellent. Adam McKay is going to be on the show about an hour or so. We're going to talk to him about Vice, which is nominated for several Oscars and SAG Awards, which is this weekend, by the way. And I don't know what we're doing.
Well, we have to do okay. Something now.
Oh.
All right. It's a little thing that we put together that's going to involve you having to put on a blindfold because we have... A mystery guest.
A mystery guest!
Okay.
And I love mystery guests.
Perhaps the most mysterious mystery guest of ever.
Really?
Yes. Mm. We won't go any further than say that. You think you'll get it?
I think so, yeah.
All right. So we need you to put on your blindfold, please.
All right. Take those glasses off.
All right. Hang on.
All righty.
Yay. So,
now, you know, there were a number of things that you know, the Acme thing today sort of took the wind out of Casey's... plans and his proverbial plan sales, whatever the hell you call them. But we are left with this, and we think it's going to be fairly exciting in case we have a mechanism by which we're going to do this and perhaps play for listeners, correct?
Yeah, well, you know, as Bill Weston always says, what's in it for the listener? What's in it for the listener is one of these three things. It's going to be their choice. We either have tickets to see G-Love and Special Sauce at the Fillmore next Saturday, or we have a case of Yard's Signature IPA. Or we have a gift certificate to the Piccalilli Inn. Uh-huh. And what is, I forget the denomination of how much.
I think it was $50.
$50. $50 gift certificate to the Pick. So it's one of those three things. And we're going to need, I think, 5 callers on the line.
All right. And so you want to break it down. The basic gist of it, Preston, as always with a mystery guest, is you're going to have yes or no questions.
Okay. Question, do I need to turn on the guest microphone?
No.
Okay. Because we're going to use my processor to hide the voice. All right. So you're all set.
Okay.
How do you want to do it incrementally? Because
I think if Preston can guess the mystery guest between guesses 1 and 5, questions 1 and 5.
Yeah.
That will be one listener. And then you have 6 and 10, 6 through 10.
Okay.
11 through 15.
That's a lot of questions.
I know. Okay. And then 16 through 20. All and right. then the fifth person is...
He just doesn't get it by
that time.
He doesn't
get it at all.
All right. So all right. Again, so one more time, repeat.
All right.
We're playing 100 questions.
215.
Yeah. No, 20 questions.
215-263-WMMR, the number, by the way.
This is 20 questions for Preston, and it's questions 1 through 5, 6 through 10, 11 through 15, and 16 through 20.
All right.
And then not at all.
All right. Is the person in the room now?
No. Okay. In fact, if we could bring our mystery guest into the room.
I am blindfolded. I can't see anything.
I always get nervous when we do mystery guest. I don't know why.
It's always hard to get somebody to agree to this.
Yeah.
Because, how are
you? It is hard to get somebody to agree to do it. And then... Sometimes we'll eat up half the interview trying to figure out who the hell it is.
Right.
If they've only got like a 10-minute window. So,
all right, so
if this person is here, then they have more time than that, which is good.
They're here, and we will be able to spend some time after Preston, which is good news. Okay. So we're going to begin. Casey, we're starting to get everybody up, and we'll just make sure everyone's up on the call screen and everyone's set before we begin.
Well, right now we got Tom on line 1, who has questions 1 through 5, so... Tom,
you're right. If you need me to kill some time, I'll mention this. We do have fish tickets for the secret text word this morning, and it's it's reserved seats for all 3 days of the show coming up June 28th through the 30th, I think, Casey.
28, 29, and 30, yep.
And text word fish to 39333. We're going to send a mystery word back to you later on. We'll ask you to call in with that secret text word, not mystery word, secret text word. And a designated caller will get those tickets for... all 3 of the shows, reserved seats, so you'll be in the pavilion area and the whole deal. So give us or text that over right now, and we'll pick a winner later on. Did that kill enough time?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to use the high-pitch process to hide this voice, which I think the we'll do a nice masking job. So we're going to begin, Preston. Again, yes or no, and you're going to have enough time to sort of narrow it down and ask our mystery guest your first question.
Okay. Have we ever met in person before?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Do you live in and around the Philadelphia area?
Yes.
Okay. Are you a public figure?
No.
No. Oh, wow. Okay.
Wait 1 second.
Wait, was that Steve?
That was Steve. With the processor, obviously still on.
You know, people.
Ask that question again.
Are you a public figure?
Yes.
Okay.
He's modest.
His all answer right might have thrown you in his.
Yeah. How many questions is that?
That's modest. Three.
That's three questions.
All right.
So you're a man. Steve just said he, by the way, so I got that.
Oh, man.
Ooh, little one out of the way. Are you in. Is your profession in journalism?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Do you appear regularly on television?
Yes.
All right, wait, that's five questions. Do you have a guest real quick?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Matt O'Donnell.
No.
Wow, okay. All right, hang on a second.
Sorry, Tom. Now you are playing for Brian. Brian on line two.
Oh, did I get the wrong network and piss somebody off?
No. You're good. We wouldn't do that to you.
All right.
Mike Montzel's on line four.
Let me tell you, your mystery guest is very good-natured. He's smiling, so.
Okay. All right. So it's not Matt. It's someone I've met in person before. They're on TV. Journalism.
You can ask more questions.
I'm going to. I'm just trying to figure out where that might lead me in my next question. Would we consider ourselves, or do you consider me a friend of yours?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Are you from an island nation?
Yes.
It's Vi. It's like I have a right.
No.
Oh, God, you're getting there so close.
Oh, man. Who the hell else is from an island nation?
You can think broader. But this person may be, I think, more famous than you're thinking.
Oh, wait a minute. Shane Victorino?
No.
Good guess.
That's six.
That's not a nation, but it's an island. You know? So now, we have played golf together, so, you know.
Now we are moving on to Paul on line three.
Wow.
Question number 11, Preston.
Yeah, I'm...
expand your search. Entertainment-wise.
I'll they live in and around the Philadelphia area. Entertainment-wise, journalism, television, island.
There are some people who do it all.
Who do it all?
No more.
Oh, okay. So, are you a musician?
Yes.
Oh. Wow. What's your name? No. Musician. Oh, my God. I should know this, right? Okay.
Everyone here is smiling because, you know, once you know, you'll... Okay.
Yeah. Do we play your music on MMR?
Yes.
Wow. Do you play drums?
Yes.
Wow.
And we're friends. We're considered friends.
We're friends.
This person's going to kill me. Are you black?
Yes.
And I still don't know who it is.
What a waste of a question.
Well, I'm trying to, you know. More famous than I have been leading on to. We're considered friends.
I mean, if I were to liken this person, I'm just going to give you a little help.
Okay.
It's kind of like a Swiss Army knife of capabilities here.
This person's going to kill me.
I thought you'd be better at this, Preston.
Dude, I suck at this. I'm good at getting answers.
All right, well,
apparently
doing,
I'm good at getting yes
you're,
answers.
You've got nothing
I haven't
but
gotten
yeses.
Any yeah. no answers yet.
Honestly, which should... kind of lead you to, oh my God.
Oh, Steve. What? Some people texting in are starting to get it.
Okay.
Really? Yeah.
All right.
Well, it's not Quest Love because we're not friends.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm.
Another guess? I mean, another question.
Another question, I guess. But what's going to help narrow it down? That's the thing that I'm trying to.
Maybe other capabilities, other talents.
Okay. What? You like to eat?
Yes.
That's another yes.
Well, now we've moved on to Keith. Paul is, sorry, Paul, but Keith is up next.
All right. Do you cook?
I mean, like, would people know you for your cooking?
Yes.
Really? Jesus, none of this is helping me.
Why are you
wasting?
You
don't know the cooking drummer?
I mean, honestly, I thought by this time.
I know.
But keep going.
The island cooking journalist drummer.
How could you? I mean, come on.
Black how can I drummer. Not? How can I yeah. not get it?
Yes.
You are on the film board. I'm going to help you with that.
Oh, my God. You're right. Okay. I am on the film board. You're an actor as well? Are you an actor?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Philadelphia actor, black drummer.
You have three questions left, Russ.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll give you another hint. It's the person who texted in black Tommy Lee. That's wrong.
It's not black Tommy Lee.
Oh, that helps a lot. Yeah. Acting. Dude, I'm drawing a blank.
Are you giving up?
No.
Ask a few more.
Okay.
Maybe some projects or styles of acting roles, movies.
You guys are just trying to give this away, aren't you?
Well, I mean, I know he's dying because I know Preston knows it, but he just, go ahead.
Acting roles. do you do, are you mainly known for comedy acting?
Yes.
Really? It didn't help.
Dude, we didn't even use a voice processor there. Did that give it away?
To help him,
did you hear the voice?
He's going to know.
It didn't give it away. Okay. No, it didn't give it away.
Oh, man.
Don't use the voice processor. do you have a new movie coming out soon?
Yes.
Last question, Preston.
Oh, man. You got it.
Man, I don't know.
Come on, Preston.
This is terrible. Is everybody getting it right on the text?
Yeah.
Everybody's
narrowed it down.
And have you been in our studio before?
Yes.
You have.
That's your last question.
You should know.
I know. I don't know.
You don't know?
Wait till you see him.
I have no idea.
All right, Preston.
Damn it.
Take off your blindfold.
Hey!
Yeah! Wait a minute.
Preston, this is one of the construction workers in our building currently.
He said yes to every question on purpose. You suck.
I don't even know. What is your name?
What's your name?
Gino.
Gino was good enough to do this.
Oh, my God.
We had a whole bunch of stuff planned, and it fell through. And at the last minute, Gino was good enough to agree to come over and be your guest.
Was the actual answer yes to any of those questions?
From the islands, right?
Yeah, Nicaragua.
Where are you from? Nicaragua?
Nicaragua. These guys are doing great work in the building here.
I'm beating myself up. You guys are saying, you ought to know. I mean, a friend of mine.
Nick's like, everybody's getting it.
Preston, how many black drummer, actor, comedian, musician, journalist friends are there?
Oh, God.
Oh, good job.
And then I take... You a-hole. Okay, so you know, and here's the deal, man. What's your name again?
Chino.
Yeah. So Chino, I never remember anybody's name.
Right.
So when I took my blindfold off and I saw you, I felt horrible because I didn't remember who you were.
Hey, surprise!
Chino. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Preston.
Yeah.
Now, Gino, do we have some of our...
Where's Marissa?
Here we go. We do have a surprise for you, Preston.
Come on in.
Say happy birthday. Hey!
All the construction workers.
Come on in. Hey, it's everybody on the construction crew.
What's up, guys?
His friends are saying you're a black drummer.
There we go. You want to say happy birthday, guys?
Oh, my God. Yeah. They brought in cupcakes.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Preston. Happy birthday to you.
Okay, what do we have here? We have Chino. Who are you? What's that? And you?
Al.
And? Lawrence Ray, okay.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
currently doing demo in our building, so we got all these construction guys that are running around the offices that we haven't met yet. So,
but we got to the your name portion of the happy birthday song. That all the construction guys,
what's
like,
his name?
Happy birthday. Is that one, Steve?
I almost said my name's Preston.
Oh my, want a cupcake, God, guys?
Yeah, help yourself.
Oh my God.
Yeah, go ahead. Dude.
I hope other people thought it was as funny as we did, because I was crying. He kept saying yes. And Preston's like, all right, so you're a journalist. You're from the islands. You're a drummer.
You're a well-known chef.
Chef. I forgot about the chef.
Yeah. I was just reaching for
why
stuff.
Why wouldn't I know this guy?
Anything. I was so insanely confused.
Hey, congratulations to Brian B., by the way. Oh, you were the lucky guy who was just caller 5, by the way. You've won a $50 pick, a Lily Inn gift card.
Oh, my God. I'm looking at the text message. One person said, this is stupid, not funny. But everybody else thought it was hilarious.
We thought it was funny.
So, wait a minute. So, were you originally planning on having somebody
in
here?
Yeah, so there was Casey had a whole bunch of, Casey does birthdays better than anybody.
Yeah,
and so we had there a whole bunch of things in motion. And actually, there was one of our good friends.
Yeah.
Did we have that, Casey?
Yeah, a good friend was going to come in and do it. And then, as it turned out, he had
He's not that good of a friend.
He's not that good of a friend. In fact, he's left us hanging many, many, many times.
Well, it was actually going to be, the joke was going to be, it was going to be sort of a funny, not let down, but like, oh, that's my mystery guest. This guy was going to come in.
Okay.
And it was Todd Glass.
It was Todd Glass.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, anyhow, that was actually a lot of fun. I was, when I took the blindfold off, I'm looking at the guy. And I felt horrible. Because clearly you guys were indicating that this is a longtime friend and I ought to know who this is.
I didn't even think about that. Oh. So the look on your face, you were like, oh, crap. Who is this guy?
I don't know.
The look on my face or the expression that I was trying to convey was, you guys are going to help me with this, right?
We just sat there.
We didn't know. We just met the guy 10 seconds ago.
We didn't even know his name. Yeah. We found out his name with you.
Yeah.
You guys are you're awesome and you suck at the same time.
Oh,
that's
great.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you. Anyway, let's see. I did have something other than my birthday to bring up, and it does have to do with a birthday of sorts, because the other day we were talking about astrological signs and how we've all pretty much, you know, years and years ago, it kind of was kitschy to, or it was fashionable to.
It was an opening line.
Yeah, to see what your sign was,
yeah,
what your astrological, you know, prediction was for the year, for the day, blah, blah, blah. And I said the other day, I didn't even know what my kids' astrological signs were. And what made me think of this is I actually got a very nice note from Sarah Parker, Jackson's producer, and she is an Aquarian as well. And she sent me a little nice note. She said, happy birthday, you know, to us Aquarians.
She's a doll.
So it was nice. And so I came across this article, and it is from a website called Pure Wow. And they have your biggest fear according to your zodiac sign.
Okay.
And I kind of brushed it off, but I read mine, and while it is not something that is a fear of mine today, at one point in time, it was one of my biggest fears.
Stucco?
No, not stucco. Although I hate it because it stains from the ground up.
It does,
you know, turns brown at the bottom.
It
doesn't look nice. But anyway, no, it's interesting. It says here, and I'll read this to you, and if you guys want, I'll read yours as well.
Yeah.
I want to see if it jibes with what might be a fear of yours.
Let everyone guess when we get to our particular ones what it is and see if it jives.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
So Aquarius is being excluded.
Fear of being left out.
Yeah, yeah. I used to be, you know, fear of FOMO.
Yeah.
Used to be a thing for me. Like, I would hear...
You were a FOMO sexual.
Friends, I was a FOMO sexual.
We need to just hang it up and leave right now.
But now I'm a Jomo sexual. Yes, that's the joy of missing out. But if I heard about something amongst my friends that I missed out on, I got really upset and jealous.
That you weren't
apprised of it, or included, or they thought enough to make you part of it?
Mainly that.
Yeah.
Or I just did something stupid and I missed out on an opportunity.
Yes.
So the Aquarian ethos is born out of the anxiety of feeling that, like, you don't belong, it says. For the Zodiac's resident aliens, no one is too weird to get a seat at the table, or at least a seat at some table somewhere. I didn't know I was an alien. The Aquarian vision is always macro. They want a world that tolerates all kinds of freaks and geeks, which is true in my account, because no one deserves to be put in a corner, it says.
So you subscribe to the Dirty Dancing philosophy of life.
I do. Don't put baby in a corner. So I thought that was kind of close to, I don't have that quite as much anymore. I might occasionally.
I definitely want to be invited. I don't want to go, but I just want to be invited.
I think so. Yeah. But I'm with you on Preston. I we're kind of homebodies, aren't we?
Yeah, I've turned into that.
Our jobs have us out and about so much.
Maybe that's part
that
of
that's
the
really we get enough of that on the job.
Yeah.
And being home is really where the, where you feel the best.
Yep. Who wants to go next?
Casey.
All right, Casey.
Let's go. What are we going? Counterclockwise.
What is yours?
I'm a Cancer.
Cancer. Yes.
I'm a Cancer.
You can get me and Nick out of the way right now.
You got a Cancer.
Hang on a second here. It's not in order. Hang on a second here. Cancer, Cancer, Cancer. Here we go.
You're still reeling from the fact that you were reunited with a great friend of yours.
Chino! What's up? Chino and me. Casey, what do you think it might be?
What do I think it might be?
And these don't seem to be things like fear of heights and sharks and things like that.
Fear of sharks that you find up high.
Well, Nick, can you key in on anything?
Well, you guys couldn't be more different. Like, the fact that this explanation is going to supposedly describe both of you, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. We have some similarities, but maybe overarching fears.
You both love cardboard.
We do love cardboard. To eat and to sleep on. I'm going to go with fear of dying alone.
All right, Casey?
Yeah, maybe. I would maybe go fear of missing out.
Fear of missing out.
Yeah.
Kind of close to you, Nick. Abandonment.
Okay.
Cancers are the most fearful signs in the Zodiac, it says. The crab is all about protection from the deepest, most formative childhood wounds of all. Usually they involve some primordial sense that our parents will not always be there for us and that the world is actually not a warm and loving womb, but a hostile and dangerous place.
Okay.
It says, just know that if you ever need to run an errand, you better ask them to come because they're low-key panicking that you won't return. Yeah.
No.
I don't think that sounds like you, Casey. Nick, I don't know.
I don't think I low-key panic very much. If I panic, you guys know.
I low-key panic a little bit, especially
you're
when...
You're a little bit more overt, though. Things weigh on you more.
Yeah, no,
You wear your emotions on your sleeve a little bit more.
What I mean by low-key panic, though, is like you were mentioning with errands and stuff like that. Like, if my family's out all together...
Yeah.
Like, in the same car and stuff like that... Like, I get really fearful that I'm not going to see them ever again.
Right. Oh, yeah. Sure. Okay. I got you. Right. Okay. Right.
And low-key panic means you're afraid of hats with giant horns on them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
All right. Steve, let's go to you.
Okay.
What's your sign?
Gemini.
Gemini. My what fear. Do you think?
So my fear is hurting my wife with my huge genitals.
Okay. And
No.
She's tiny.
No. What would be my fear?
This one might be you. This one might.
A fear of not having.
Well, if you don't want to guess, I'll tell you.
It's hard for me because I'm stupid. But what does it say there?
It says Geminis are known for their extremes, vacillating between opposite poles, is befitting of the twins after all. But the fear at the root of Gemini's chaos is boredom.
That's actually a good point because if I go away like on a vacation or something, I like to have a schedule. Idle time is great, but I'm always still, I'm doing things.
Well, it seems like you always need stimuli of some sort.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
You want to be reading or watching something.
Right, right.
Or engaging in something.
And that would speak to the fact that I don't sleep a lot.
Yeah.
I'm up a lot.
It says their heightened curiosity will supersede their sense of personal safety, leading them to set all kinds of fires just to have something interesting to do.
Yeah.
An idle Gemini is a threat to society and themselves, so please, for the love of all that is holy, entertain them, it says. I have found myself to be that way as of late. I've realized that I don't like to be doing nothing ever. Like, I want something to do. And that was never me, man.
Yeah.
Never me.
You would veg?
And my God. Yes, absolutely. I could spend a lot of time just laying around and doing nothing.
Now, for example, I love watching movies. But is that considered idle time?
No, you're not bored.
I'm not bored.
Yeah, so my old saying used to be, why stand when you can sit? Why sit when you... Why walk when you can ride? Why stand when you can sit? And why sit when you can lay down?
Words to live by.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Kathy, your sign, please.
Virgo.
Virgo the Virgin. Let's find this. Virgo.
What's your fear, Kathy?
What do you think your fear would be?
Disoriented or not organized, like some sort of...
Disorganization.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. Virgos are the opposite of humble braggers. They would rather die with zero recognition for excellent work than EGOT for something they consider subpar. Basically, that you are unworthy. That's your fear, that you are unworthy. The Virgin is concerned primarily with ethics, and part of the reason they confidently wield their critical eyes because they've made damn sure that they can live up to it.
Mm.
The fear of failing their own test of integrity is why they work so hard in the first place.
Interesting. Mm.
Does that make any sense?
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it kind of does. I mean,
yeah. The tendency with these things, though, Kathy, is to always sort of, yes, you know, like we sort of, that does fit me. Even sometimes when it, like even, well,
even
with the expression of me,
it,
I'm like, maybe that is me,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, like forever, I have always been, like even when I was young in high school, college, I've always been hardest on myself. Like I never got, you know, pushback from my parents. It was always myself that was disappointed.
Okay. I never feel I'm worthy. I mean, that's why I'm always the kind of person that I always want to make everybody feel as, you feel, are you comfortable? That's why years ago, the notion of throwing a party was so horrific to me because, like, what if someone doesn't have a good time?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? And then I found out all you have to do is provide booze.
And everybody has a good time. Which, by the way, I'll be having a good time tonight.
There you go.
Sober January ends today.
Yeah.
Marissa, what is your astrological sign?
I'm a Leo the Lion.
Leo the Lion. All right. And we will
see.
You
want courage.
According to this, what your biggest fear is? What would you say? You're a homosexual. Fear of missing out, right?
Yeah. See, I'm listening to all of these, and I kind of think that it's going to be all of them because as I'm hearing it, I'm thinking like, oh, I don't want to be left out. Oh, I don't want to make people unhappy. I don't want to lose control. So maybe it's some sort of mixture of everything.
You're like an astrological mixtape.
Your fear is that you are unlovable.
Oh.
Leos are all about self-expression and authenticity, and ultimately they just want to be loved for who they really are.
Cheese lovers.
But as they peel back the layers of their identity, they risk not liking what they discover.
Hmm.
The worst fear a lion could confront is that they don't even like themselves.
I don't know if it matters, but Marissa, Kathy, and I are all on the cusp. So Kathy and Marissa are right on the cusp of each other, Virgo and Leo, and I'm on the cusp of Cancer and Leo.
Mm.
So sometimes people who take stock in these types of things say that if you're right by the border, you're bicuspid.
you're a sharp tooth.
But it's funny you say that because I did a Philly Magazine thing a few weeks ago, and somebody asked, you know, what's your biggest fear? And I said that people don't like me. Like, I just want to go out of my way to make sure that, like, I'm friends with everyone. I want to meet everybody and just make sure they're having fun.
Sure. Yeah, I can see that.
Okay.
Interesting.
But, anyhow, I thought it was
it's all hooey.
I thought it was, I agree. Yeah, I agree. I thought it was a bit of a follow-up to the conversation.
People do like, that's how the original mad run of the astrological, that's how they started, that's why they started appearing in newspapers, is because that's a big thing.
Do you ever remember for astrological signs for the Zodiac, Steve, they would sell these tiny little bitty scrolls?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember those?
I do remember those,
do you guys remember them?
No.
And they'd be
sort of a description of your...
Yeah, they'd be like at a convenience store, and they were in a little tiny little tube. They're probably like 2-3 inches long. And, you'd buy it. It was, you know, it's a buck or whatever. Yeah. And you'd open it up, and it would give you the rundown of all your
predictions.
They had
little, like, little pinholes that they were all in rolled up, and you would pull them out of your astrological. They'd be in categories.
Yes.
And you'd pull them out.
Yep.
You'd see them all over the place.
Yep.
Like troll dolls.
It was a thing back in the day. Yes, Case.
Hey, when we're done with this,
we
do have the audio, your special birthday surprise message, if you wanted to listen to that as we
This is separate from the thing we did earlier.
This isn't from Chino,
my buddy.
No.
The black chef drummer
journalist
from an island nation who is a journalist and is a. By the way, I love now that I'm thinking back about this. I asked him if he was a public figure, and he initially said no, and you told him to say yes.
We tried to pass it off that he was too modest.
Yeah. Did you say...
I said say yes to
say
everything.
Say yes to everything. He's too modest. And then you started saying, I didn't say it.
Just to give you more questions.
All right. Here's my special birthday message.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
All right, we're good. Okay, Preston, happy birthday. We're here with some people from the show. Oh, did you hear that whistle? That means we're having a good time. And and we wanted to sing happy birthday. Hope you have a happy birthday. You know, everyone says they don't really care about their... Hold on. Everybody says they don't care about their birthday. But you know what? Getting a little love thrown your way, it's no big deal, right? Sure, here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Oh my God!
To you.
Wait, they skipped the happy birthday, dear Preston. They skipped it. We're straight to the end.
Happy birthday to you. Oh God! I think I just shit in my pants.
Who is Todd with?
His band.
Yeah, he's got a band that he performs with.
Okay, I gotcha. Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I would like to thank, you know, I'm turning 51 today.
Yeah.
I want to thank one of my best friends, Will Chapman, for giving me a wonderful look into turning 50. He told me about it last year. So once you're in your 50s, and it's given me a great amount of freedom. And the way he explained it is when you turn 50 years old, you can use that as an excuse for just about anything that you want or don't want to do.
Yes.
Because you can use the phrase, you know what? I'm 50 years old. If I don't want to do that, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. No, I love it.
You know what? I'm 50 years old. If I want to do that, I'm going to do that. And I was like, you know what?
I'm taking this bag of money.
Thank you. That's right. I'm 50 years old. I can take that bag of money.
The Wells Fargo door is open. I'm taking it.
Yep, exactly.
I think it's really cool that you and the radio station are the same age. You both turned 50 last year, and you both turned 50. Yeah, I think that's awesome.
That was the year. Summer of love, man.
And you're both friends with Chino.
Chino.
You know.
Listen, I can't say enough about Chino. Through thick and thin, he's always been there. And I just want to say thank you, Chino, for everything you've given me.
Lifelong friendship.
I love you, man. I do. And I just wanted everybody here to know that.
I want to see the video of your reaction when the
I do too. Because it was pure confusion.
That panicked.
And I'm like, you guys are going to tell me who this is, right? All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to give away a case of Yard Signature IPA to caller number 14 at 215-263-WMMR. Whenever you go, bring the good stuff, bring quality, bring tradition, and bring Yards. Available at Oxford Beverages Incorporated in Philadelphia. 215-263-WMMR's number. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. Adam McKay is scheduled to join us shortly. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Steve, and I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Keep listening to the Preston and Steve Show to find out when we're heading back to Jack Frost Mountain for the 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. And visit jfbb.com anytime for conditions and to view their live webcam. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like you to make it a perfectly personal new year with our friends at Hannah Stone. Make it personal. Make it about you. You spent enough time over the holidays thinking about everybody else. Let's think about you now. There's over 50 locations of Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and the spa services start at just $59.95. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Go to handandstone.com today.
Steven Singer Jewelers is not revealing one new gold-dipped rose color this Valentine's Day. He's got five! His roses start at only $59 exclusively at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I was trying to think of the last movie I saw because I have a list here that I'm gonna share with you guys. The last movie that I saw that had a training montage in it.
Yes.
The first one that comes to mind, although I'm certain I've seen some since then.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Steel Magnolias?
No. I didn't see the...
When they're training at the salon?
Oh, that?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. No.
Rocky?
No, Creed was the last one. I mean, the most recent.
Okay, yeah.
Seen. And I remember the one from Creed mainly because he's running through the streets of Philadelphia and all those guys on the dirt bikes start following him and the ATVs.
The cool scene.
It was very cool.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. But I have a ranking. It's not necessarily a ranking, but they took a look at, in this particular article, seven iconic movie training montages, and they get the reaction from professional trainers as to if they're legitimate workouts or
the efficacy of these various things. Yeah, because sometimes I'll look at different things, and I'll say, you know, you see people like exercise, and you're like, that does nothing, you know. But cinematically, it looks good.
One of my favorites, actually, and Steve, you and I always mention this movie, but Rocky Balboa is when, and it's Apollo's old trainer comes in to train Rocky for this exhibition match, and he starts it off by saying, okay, so you need speed to beat this guy. You don't have it. You've got arthritis.
Yeah.
Your knees are beat up, so we can't do any hard running or any of this. We can't spar too much. He's like, so what we need to do is something different. We're just going to work on strength training.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, pile driving, you know, punches that'll make him wish he, you know, never lived and so on and so forth. And then they just go through and do a lot of heavy lifting and all these really intense workouts like that.
And that seemed logical. It was an assessment of his physicality what you needed to do.
And that's why I liked that particular montage. Some of them get cheesy, but you know what? And my son had said a while back, he goes, hey, Dad, you know how the Rocky movies are mainly just montage movies?
Yeah.
And I said, they're not really. There's usually one section in the movie that's a training montage.
Right.
And then the rest of it is story, and there's a lot of heart to some of these stories.
To me, one of the funniest is Rocky IV, is the running up the mountain and the going, you know, the lifting up the logs, the wagon, but it cinematically it looks cool.
Yeah.
But you know, will that give you what you want? Who knows? But
so they looked into this in this particular article, and they asked two professional trainers, Joe Holder, Nike Master Trainer, and Deanna Robinson, who is a health and fitness expert who works with the Redskins, and they wanted them to review the realness of seven iconic movie training montages. So they went with the original Rocky, 1976.
Right.
To prepare, Rocky engages in an endless series of grueling physical challenges. He runs through the streets. He exercises while holding bricks. He punches.
He's the chicken.
That's not in the first Rocky movie. He punches meat. He boxes. He does push-ups, you know, the one-arm push-ups and everything. Most memorably, he sprints up the steps at the Philadelphia Museum of Art. All of these things serve their purpose, Holder says, from aerobic conditioning to, in the case of those bricks, preparing him for the strain and annoyance of heavy gloves, except for one. He says, no raw eggs. Find another way to get your protein. Don't drink raw eggs.
It's dangerous. Eat living chickens instead.
But what I don't really care for in this particular article is what these experts had to say about the training.
You think that they're too pedantic, or are they too...
They're stupid.
They're stupid. Let's hear it.
Here's another one. The Empire Strikes Back.
He's training with Yoda.
Carrying your mentor on your back isn't a common feature of training regimens on Earth, but...
Give me a break.
That's exactly how Luke prepared for his battle against the evil Empire. Robinson writes, we are more likely to use a weighted vest, which also creates more of a load performing body weight exercises and increases the demand on your muscles.
So he's saying don't use a wizened green alien?
Right.
When trying to lift rocks with your mind.
Yes.
Yeah, use when your vehicle is trapped in a swamp on Dagobah.
Right. Yeah. These are not as effective.
Well, that, use kettlebells.
All right, so I just thought it'd be fun to bring up these training montages.
There was a training sequence in the movie Vision Quest, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good one. Yeah.
It's a really good one.
He's training for wrestling.
Yep, exactly.
There are two, I don't want to jump ahead on the list, so tell me to shut up if I should shut up, but there are two Batman ones that come to mind.
Okay.
Are they on the list?
No.
All right, the Batman v Superman one.
I love that one.
The Ben Affleck one. Yeah. It's pretty badass.
The Greatest Chains. Yeah. And all that stuff, yeah.
And then in Dark Knight Rises, when Christian Bale gets his back broken and has to come back to fight Bale. Like, he's training to get out of the pit of doom or whatever that thing's called. That one's pretty badass, too.
Okay. Yeah, I can't vaguely remember that one. Here's a couple of more.
You should chase after a chicken.
What?
I don't have a chicken.
Wait, where's Gene Simmons when you need it? That guy loves chickens.
I think I have some chickens for him.
The
for the first time ever, kiss training chickens.
I wouldn't doubt it.
How much do those cost?
$1,000 each. Specifically trained by Malaysian farmers.
For chasing purposes.
For purpose of chasing and training.
Yeah.
No. Each emblazoned with the kiss insignia.
Now, this one I find very stupid. I've always thought it was stupid, yet it made for a great film, The Karate Kid.
Yes. The
paint the fence, wax on, wax off.
But then he does it.
Sand the floor.
Touch my balls.
Yeah. What?
There is a training montage at the end, like the
when they're on the beach and all that stuff. So that's maybe a little bit more. I think what he's trying to do is, you know.
They never show them sparring. And if you're going to compete in a tournament, it's impossible to do it without sparring.
You never have to spar at all. Just learn straight technique without ever being hit or kicked.
Right,
you will be incredible.
Yeah. So let me tell you what the quote-unquote expert said. To prepare for an upcoming tournament, Daniel undertakes the unusual training regimen which spawned the world-famous line, wax on, wax off. How legit is it? And this person wrote, there is research that shows the mindfulness and visualization can make you better at sports. But in this case, I think it has more to do with training the mind. In real life, athletes often work with sports psychologists on everything from cognitive and behavioral skill training like goal setting, attention control, and emotional management to leadership skill development and team building.
So just robotic muscle memory is not what you would go for.
But Mr. Miyagi likely had another goal, according to Holder. The movements associated with the chores were directly tied into the movements and joint angles necessary for karate. Even if Daniel didn't know it, his teacher was hardwiring in the movements that would be necessary for fighting. So this one is actually pretty solid, they said.
Especially if you want cheap labor.
About muscle memory, Press.
It's all about muscle memory, but you have to train to know when someone is about to strike you so that you can counter that. Just moving. Yeah, he did it at the very end.
He sanded my deck while I was trying to paint his face.
At the end, Casey, he does it automatically as if just the movements had taught him that alone. It's a bunch of crap.
It's hooey.
Garbage.
Yeah, right. Well, he did win the tournament, Preston, so. Joke's on you.
Spoiler alert. Rocky IV.
Again.
Yeah. You had mentioned that one, Steve. So.
There's only one way to train.
Yeah.
I got to go to Russia and run up a mountain.
Yep. Got to go to Russia. Yeah, the Rocky IV montage.
It occurs to me I'm lost.
This is the one that true fans ranked as the number one training montage. His routine seems very effective for his sport and fitness level, Robinson writes, noting the functional aspect of his training, a way of building strength for very specific activities, athletic or otherwise. He said the high level of training in the Rocky Creed franchise becomes dangerous when the training program greatly exceeds the physiological capabilities of the exerciser. This ultimately increases the possibility of an injury. I will admit that Stallone was by far his most cut up in this movie.
That and number three. You know, I mean, literally, no body fat. He would have passed out after 3 minutes of fighting.
Yeah.
For Rocky IV, when Dolph Lundgren, there's the story, he hit him so hard, he basically, like, shifted his heart in his chest.
Yeah, that's
right. He had to go into the hospital.
The Rocky Creed franchise has had an overall positive effect on my industry more than a don't-do-this-at-home mentality. I feel that is inspired, healthy, no progress without struggle mentality, it says. All right, here's a weird one. Mulan.
Mulan?
Yeah, the animated film.
Okay.
In her training montage, which also gives us one of the best songs in the movie, they say, she seeks to scale an enormous pole and prove her worth to the skeptical army captain, Li Shang. In the fitness industry, we call this cross-training, using several modes of training to develop fitness and overall performance. Cross-training is great to help out, to help even out potential muscular strength imbalances, prevent injuries, as is seen in Mulan's case, even increase motivation. And I'm sure it was a combination of those things that helped her to scale the pole.
Anybody She's also animated.
Yeah. Anybody ever see this one?
Yeah. I did.
We actually just watched it a few weeks ago, yeah. Okay. I had never seen it before. It was good.
Was it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. My kids love it. They
were really?
Like, they were like, I said, I've never seen it before. And it was kind of like, how dare you?
You son of a bitch.
Yeah.
You know what?
I've
has
never
a,
seen Little Mermaid.
What about the training montage? Oh my God!
What?
I know.
Is you have a daughter?
I know. It's terrible.
Oh my God! That's probably one of my all-time favorite.
Little Mermaid.
It's wonderful. The training montage in Little Mermaid. The training montage in Team America, Preston.
Yes, everybody needs a montage.
Everybody needs a montage.
Even Rocky had a montage.
Was that one of the lines?
Or yeah.
It's been so long since I've seen it. Oh, I got to go.
Now it's time for a montage.
Oh, it's the second Team America reference today.
What was the first
one?
We were
talking about the lease and rent earlier.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Everyone has AIDS. 888. 888.
If you've never seen that movie, and if if you don't mind politically incorrect, totally, completely wrong humor, then you absolutely have to see Team America World Police. It is one of the most funny laugh out loud movies.
Yes.
And it's
hilarious.
It's in the idea of that watching a movie of marionettes seems stupid to you.
Yeah.
You need to watch this movie because it's absolutely hilarious. Okay, so moving on. I have just two more movies to
make. Yes. Oh, another one. Another good one.
Yes.
Matrix.
The Matrix. Yes.
Yeah.
With Morpheus.
I know Kung Fu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know Kung Fu.
I have a Shih Tzu.
Yeah. That is a great one. I agree. I'm trying to think of other good ones. But I'm drawing a blank right now.
Kung Fu Panda.
That's a good one. Somebody says Footloose had a great training montage. Where he's teaching Chris Penn how to
dance.
Is that the Let's Hear for the Boys? Is that the, song? All right.
It might be.
Oh, I think a training montage is really only as good as the music that is playing underneath.
It certainly helps.
Yeah.
Is it a montage in Miracle when Herb Brooks makes him skate over and over again? Or is that just a scene?
That's just a scene.
All right.
That's a corsage.
They do have montages of them working together.
Yeah.
But the scene where they're doing Herbies or whatever they called them.
Again.
Yeah, again.
Yeah.
That's not a montage. The Fighter, which I never saw.
Mark Wahlberg, right?
Oh, no, it's actually very good.
Yeah.
And actually, Christian Bale.
Yeah.
And apparently, cutting weight is a big part of that movie. And that's when you forcibly sweat out excess water.
In Vision Quest, he does that. He gets up on top of that, like a steam pipe or something.
Yeah.
And he gets all bundled up and sweats off the weight.
So for training montages, they especially are true for movies about boxers and wrestlers, both who compete in regimented weight classes. In The Fighter, Mickey Ward, played by Mark Wahlberg, wears a sweatsuit during an aerobic exercise to get down to size. Both these strategies are used in real life, but Holder says there are some inherent dangers, such as dehydration and slight micronutrient issues if this is done over a prolonged period.
This level of scientific assessment from the same people who tell you not to train with Yoda.
Yeah, it's stupid, right?
Yeah, it's stupid.
I remember seeing wrestlers do that, though, in high school.
Me too.
To make weight.
Yeah, they put on, like, rubber or raincoats and go run.
And literally carry around a cup so they can spit in it throughout the day so that they dehydrate themselves as best as possible.
Oh, really?
And that's what the guys would do in my high school,
That's crazy.
Well, there's also the Bradley Cooper in the...
Silver Linings Playbook.
Silver Linings Playbook, the running around with the garbage bags on.
Oh, my God. We're watching Mark doing these half pull-ups and swinging his legs back and forth like that. Leg lifts from a pull-up bar and then swinging them back and forth. I would... No. Damn.
No.
Let's see
I'm going to sit down. I'm tired of training right now. I'm going to sit down.
Here, somebody wants to point this one out. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Doing good, guys. What's going on?
Yo, buddy. All right, so you wanted to point out a training regimen or a training montage.
Yeah, best by far, hands down. Anyone out there will agree with me. Blades of Glory with Will Ferrell.
I love Blades of Glory. It's one of my favorite. Will Ferrell.
Oh.
Yeah.
And
from
Come on, guys.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah. John Heater.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Hey, hate to bother you at work. I got to go.
All right, okay. See you. I thought he was talking about Kathy. Topic, what's that movie?
Cutting Edge.
Cutting Edge.
Yeah, Blades of Glory is the comedy where they're going to do this. It's I think it's called the Iron Lotus, and it's a movement out of Korea. But every time they've done it, the skater has cut the other skater's head off.
Oh my God! Speaking of Korea, Steve, I'll go to this one. I have Bill on the line. Hey, Bill. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys? Do you remember a bonkers movie from the 80s called Remo Williams?
Yeah, it was with Joel Grey played this sort of mystic, and it was...
He was a Korean.
Yeah, it was...
That's why I said, Fred, speaking of Korea.
Yeah, it was really, really good. I enjoyed it.
And, he had a weird training regimen, right?
At one point, I don't know how this translates into real life, he dives into a mound of dirt and then shoots out the top as if he was propelled by, like, a motor.
Well, you remember they were also training on the Statue of Liberty. Yeah, they were up on the Statue of Liberty training as well. Yeah, and the guy's Fred Ward, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah. All right, and then one last thing, and they bring up the movie Creed, which I mentioned earlier. This is an expert said this training scene is pretty solid. Tempo runs to work on his conditioning, bag work, and jump rope are all pretty consistent aspects of training regimen. Even the chicken catching, so I guess they do that in Creed, too. I guess Rocky, I don't remember that.
But it's just fried chicken they're throwing at him.
Oh, okay. No, it says the chicken catching makes sense. Believe it or not, since it is difficult to replicate the chaos at a scene in sporting activities in a controlled environment, Adonis is having his responsive skills honed by having to chase the chicken. And there are better ways to do it, but it isn't complete crap, they said.
Well, anything like that. I mean, I think if Rocky had been, if Mickey had been pulling a rotisserie chicken on a string,
right? Maybe a little lift.
A little lifting would have been nice, something like that. Mm-hmm. They're always fun to watch if they're done well, you know, because you're always in anticipation of okay, they're going to get on their game now. Now they're going to win, and it gets you jazzed up.
Here you go. Here's a good text from a couple of people saying that the Kill Bill films had a great training montage. With her and was it Pai Mei? Was that his name with the really long white beard?
Yeah, and it was Sonny Chiba.
Sonny Chiba played two roles in that movie,
yes.
And that was the other one. And when she's being taught how to punch through the board with one, you know, like a 2-inch punch or something like that.
Joel Grey, talking about Remo Williams, did the same thing with the one finger through the board.
That's
you know,
right.
It's a good training sequence in Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange.
They're training him to use
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
To use his mind and all those other things. Yeah, exactly.
I think all of that is engaging.
All right, so those are some interesting movie tidbits I thought you might be curious about.
Yeah, the training montage in Vice is fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Dick Cheney gets
in there. Oh, it's incredible. This I didn't even realize there would be a training montage in Vice, but no. There's no training montage.
He was a master of Tai Bo.
God, do you remember Tai Bo?
Tai Bo, the non-fighting art.
It was an exercise program.
Yeah. But I better not mess with me. I know Tai Bo. It's like saying, don't mess with me. I know hot yoga.
Right. Exactly. All right, our next guest is on the line. Speaking of Vice, and he is... this is Miami Vice.
Oh, man, this would have been great. Dick Cheney in Miami Vice.
Oh, my God.
Crockett and Tubby.
Yeah. Speaking of the movie Vice, it is up for several Oscars and SAG Awards. Please welcome the writer and director of the film and a friend and Philadelphia native, Mr. Adam McKay.
Yeah.
Hey. To the show this morning. Hey, Adam, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, man. Of course. So, yeah, we were talking movies, but we were talking about training montages in films. And I didn't even do any research as to whether or not you've had training montages in any of your movies.
I think every single movie I've done contractually, I have to.
There is a bit of a training montage. There is a samurai scene, a samurai sword scene in Step Brothers.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. The Big Short, when they're like, hey, we got to figure this out, they immediately hit the weights. They run up a mountain.
Exactly.
Like a tree on their back. Yeah. An old guy like makes them like, you know, snatch insects out of the air.
Yes. People forget that. Hey, congratulations on everything, by the way.
Yes.
It's so cool to see you getting all these accolades. And you know, we've always been massive fans, but to see you come into your own this way and be recognized is just so cool.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. I appreciate it. Always, my dream is still to come back to Philly and do a movie one of these days. That's my my final goal.
Okay. That'd be great. I have to say, so with Vice, 8 nominations, I was checking on my notes, you know, from a while ago. Was the original title of the movie supposed to be Backseat at one point?
You know, it's funny, they ask you for a fake name just to put on the yellow cards for crew parking.
Okay.
And that was one of his security names and nicknames at one point. I just randomly said Backseat.
Okay.
And for like 8 months, every time the movie was reported on, it was called Backseat. And I was like, that's not the name of the... I was like, ah, whatever.
Okay. You know, obviously, we've all seen the movie. No matter where you stand politically, I have to say, you know, you are getting the way Ken Burns, you know, had a thing that was ultimately described as the Ken Burns effect. You know, there is now a McKay-esque style of filmmaking, you know, which is so cool. And you know, to see you sort of developing that style is so cool. Is that something that you are... and I hear critics mention it now, your approach to these movies and breaking down the fourth wall and really pulling in these different tricks. Is that fulfilling to you, or do you not want to be categorized or pigeonholed that way?
You know, it's honestly every movie you just do what needs to be done. You know, like in the case of The Big Short, you had to do those little explainer beats because it's so complicated. And I didn't know about any of that stuff either. So when I learned about it, that's kind of how I learned about it. And then in the case of Chaney, you know, Chaney is so smart. Like he stayed out of the spotlight. He never gave like big important speeches.
Yeah.
Not the most charismatic guy. Like all his power was in the background and really bureaucratic and about office hallways. So I wanted the movie to be, you know, a little bit more off balance and to be different and to highlight some of the stuff he did that looked like paper pushing. So in that case, you know, we had Alfred Molina, you know, as a waiter, not to spoil that for anyone, but yeah, it sort of comes out of the movie. So I don't know, like the next movie, it's possible that maybe we don't do any of those. We'll see what happens.
Well, it certainly helped because a person like me who would be confused about this entire subject was able to follow along, and it's the reason I watched the film. I mean, we were going to have you on for an interview, but I knew your style, and I knew that, okay, I'll be able to follow this. I'll be able to, because of the way Adam sets it up.
But it also comes across as it's twofold. God. It's wildly entertaining and engaging, and also you have this group of superior actors with an incredible, near mythical level performance from Christian Bale. You know, it's a perfect stew, but that whole the approach, again, you know, it does help illuminate so many of these things that I think a lot of people would say, what is this about? How did this happen?
Yeah.
Yeah, unitary executive theory is not exactly something people are running into the aisles in movie theaters cheering when it comes up.
Yay!
But that was kind of a training montage, actually.
It really was. And at that moment, that subject line would when that was brought up would have just come and gone had you not done what you'd done with slowing it down and adding a little nature footage in there to make me realize how important it was. And Adam, you did something I've never seen done in cinema before. It may have been done, but I've never seen it before. And it was at about the 47 mark of the movie. And here's a very serious subject. I was laughing my ass off. I mean, to where my family, because we got advanced screeners, we're SAG members, so we got I got to watch it at home. My family came up to my room. They're like, what the hell is so funny? I just want to thank you for that, and I have a feeling you know what I'm referring to.
I know what you're referring to.
God, it was brilliant.
I won't say it either, but man, I've been hearing some great stories from around the country about people, let's say, overreacting to that moment.
No kidding. Wow. I believe it.
Oh, that's, I've heard some good ones.
That's good. That's great.
Yeah, that made me laugh, too. Okay. So
kudos.
I'm glad you enjoyed.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, really, top to bottom, beginning to end, it's a fascinating story of a person's life. And like Steve mentioned, it doesn't really matter, at least in my opinion, what your politics are, because you're watching this person ascend to pretty much the highest position of power in the land, and maybe even in the world,
And he does it in a way that nobody else has ever done it before. And I found that story in and of itself just fascinating.
Yeah, we've had, you know, it's funny. There's the right wing, left wing. I mean, it's a true story. People know what happened. They know this guy. They see what he does. And so we've had good reactions from across the spectrum to the movie. I mean, there's always going to be people that complain on both sides. But for the most part, people know it's a true story and it's a crazy story. And like you said, most of all, that performance from Christian Bale is just a once in a decade performance. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Adam, when we saw just the teaser pictures leading up to it, the transformation is amazing. Here's a guy, I mean, you know, who dropped massive amounts of weight for one role, you know, and then was in buff shape for the Batman roles. I was reading an interview with you, and I thought this was hilarious. The concept of creating a fictional role and then compelling Christian Bale to put on 200 pounds to play the role for no other reason than just to torture him. How when somebody, I mean, from the director's point of view, and when someone will morph themselves that way, I assume insuring them on the movie, are there physical concerns that make it a liability from just a movie studio's perspective about putting somebody through the physical change that way? Does that add extra issues?
Well, we did have a doctor oversee his weight gain because, you know, he's getting older now. And I think when you're young, you can maybe do a little bit of that. But the doctor actually did it in such a way with Bale where, like, his cholesterol went down, his blood pressure went down. So he was able, I don't know, I got to learn this. He was able to put on 45 pounds and somehow be healthier.
So how did Chaney end up needing a heart transplant?
Exactly. Well, Chaney himself was a three-pack-a-day smoker and ate a dozen donuts a day in the 70s. How about that?
Hey.
But yeah, he actually did it in a healthy way, which I didn't know you could. I've been blooded for all these years. Apparently, you can gain 40 pounds and be healthy.
This is great news this Friday.
Yeah. Speaking of Dick Cheney's health problems, and I'm curious, and obviously in films you augment certain things to get whatever point it is across you may be getting emotionally, however it may be. Was he that laissez-faire about having heart attacks where it was just like, I think we need to go to the doctor. I mean, because it was, I found that funny, too, even though the man's in serious, you know, health issues there.
I mean, you know, we don't know the exact tone in which he said it, but in all cases, he came back pretty fast. I mean, one of the funniest stories is, and it's morbidly funny, but his first heart attack in Wyoming is obviously running for Congress, and they're like, oh, no, you had a heart attack. What are we going to do? So they tried to make a TV commercial that was talking about, hey, you know, going through experiences is a good thing. I just had a heart attack. And they really filmed this commercial, and they were like, yeah, that's terrible, and they never aired it. They were definitely eyes on the prize, keeping the career going.
Yeah.
And then obviously towards the end and, you know, later years, it got so serious he couldn't ignore it. But it felt like they were speed bumps from the way you read about him, the way he talks about it.
It's crazy. I think, it's like that old commercial that used to be for the Bayer aspirin. You take it, it'll make your second heart attack easier to manage. I'm really concerned about the first one. I want to ask you, because we'll see you at the awards, and obviously at the Golden Globes and everything. Are you comfortable in that realm? I mean, you put on the suit and do the whole deal. Is that obviously you're going there, you're being lauded. You're committed to your work. We love what you do. Is that something you embrace, or is that just part and parcel of what you have to do?
Yeah, it's a funny mixture because no, not comfortable at all.
Yeah.
incredibly strange situation in a tuxedo surrounded by movie stars and this crazy celebration. And then it's about movies, too, if you think about how weird that is.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like going to an award show for, like, baseball cards. Like, it's something kind of odd about it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's also awesome. Like, it's this mixture of this is incredibly uncomfortable, and this is, by the way, going to an award show for baseball cards would be pretty awesome.
Yes. So. but in a way, I mean, you obviously have been a movie fan and, a fan of all of this stuff for your life, and it has to almost be otherworldly at a point.
That's exactly it. Yeah. I grew up watching movies. I inhale movies constantly. I'm all about movies. So being in that room, and you do just constantly, like, meet people that are, like, your idols, like, bumping into, like, Steven Spielberg and saying hi.
Yeah.
You know, for a week afterwards, I'm still, like, you know, recovering from it. It's the coolest thing ever. So
you find yourself writing Mrs. Steven Spielberg on your notebook, right?
You know, looking out the classroom window. Yeah.
Adam, I want to ask you a semi-serious question, and I'm not quite exactly sure how to frame it, so bear with me, but President George H.W. Bush died right before the release of this movie, and I was wondering if the sentiment towards his passing, do you think at all had an impact on people's viewing of your movie?
You know, I'm not sure everyone has their own individual response to this movie, obviously, but, you know, it was interesting with H.W., he was really clear on the record about the fact that he regretted recommending Cheney for his son.
Yeah.
And actually said, like, I had no idea Cheney was going to run a shadow empire out of the White House.
Wow.
I remember hearing that quote from H.W.'s biography and being like, oh, we're definitely barking up the right tree. So his opinions about what Cheney did during his son's 8 years were pretty clear. No, I don't feel like it had an effect. We didn't dwell on H.W. that much. You know, Cheney didn't really have a lot of power during his 4 years. By all accounts, actually, Cheney did a pretty good job as Secretary of Defense during that first Iraq war. So I don't know. I didn't feel like it had an effect. We were certainly respectful towards him.
Well, you know, it's funny because I know you and I agree on a lot. I probably skew a little bit more right than do you. But the film is just engrossing. It's great filmmaking with a great cast. And if anyone has any reservations, you know, give it a shot. I think that, you know, you'll be really well rewarded for your efforts. I wanted to ask you about something. Reading in an interview with you, Adam, a name comes up, and I was unfamiliar with this gentleman. A gentleman named Dale Close.
That's from the UK Vice interview. They say his name wrong. Del Close.
Del Close.
Yes.
I had not heard of this gentleman before.
Yeah, Del Close is the improv kind of legend of Chicago. He taught, like, Bill Murray and Gilda Radner and Chris Farley, anyone you can think of, Mike Myers, Tina Fey, myself, like, and he invented long-form improvisation. So, you know, the Herald, all that stuff, that was him. And he also had just these rules for comedy and how he taught it that were incredibly unique. So he taught me, he taught my friends. We created the Upright Citizens Brigade out of his class.
Yeah.
Which is still a comedy theater in New York and out here in L.A. He's the guy. You hear his name pop up all the time. They've tried to make a movie about him a couple times. He's a fascinating character.
Anything that's interested you where you might take on a project like this? Because the concept of this, from what I was reading, and they got his name wrong, so that shows you how well they check their own article. But the this long form, this improvisational thing that has become part of a lot of filmmaking these days, you know, if it goes back to him, he's certainly a critical point in pop culture and probably deserves a good storytelling.
I think there definitely could be a movie about him. Yeah, whether it's a documentary or whether it's, a written movie, he's an incredible character. He did, like, light shows for the Grateful Dead. He, like, used to be L. Ron Hubbard's fencing partner.
What?
Oh, he's like a larger-than-life character. I mean, he has stories that are so crazy. They did a comic book for DC about that he, like, wrote called Wasteland, like 10 issues of a comic book. Del Close. I mean, if you look up online, there's some interviews with him, and he's every bit kind of the mythical, brilliant, kind of mad genius you think he would be. But, I've talked about it for years. It's a hard movie to get made as far. I think a documentary would be the way to do it.
Yeah.
To get the ball rolling. There's some books about him, too. Yeah. It's a fun deep dive on Google if you got some time to kill.
I'm definitely going to do that.
It kind of sounds like the literal most interesting man in the world. Yeah, right. You could do a beer commercial about that guy.
He kind of is, yeah.
So speaking of biopics and your want and desire to shoot a movie here in Philadelphia, is there a Philadelphia story that you would like to shoot or that you think would make for a great movie?
Well, I'm trying to get the money. It's expensive.
Yeah,
Looks like the budget's going to be about $90 million. But I just finished the script, which is incredibly long. It's going to be like a three-hour movie, The Maurice Cheek Story. We're working on right now.
The $90 million Maurice Cheek Story.
I was buying it. I thought, oh, he's going to do a movie on Move. Right?
And I'm thinking, what impactful story could have that kind of budget? Oh, my God.
Mo Cheeks.
All right. Well, let's get something that we have heard rumors about, Silver Surfer.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. No, I just started talking a little bit about that. That's always been one of my favorite comics. I actually did grow up a big comic book geek, and he's one of my favorites, Norrin Radd. And I thought visually, man, that could be an amazing-looking movie. I mean, you start out in space and
yeah.
Galactus, Silver Surfer, different planets. Like, that could be visually a stunning movie.
Such a cool character. They tried it with the Fantastic Four movie, and it didn't look bad, but I just think they botched the presentation. So
I like it being all about the Silver Surfer. I like you start with him. He's the focus of the story, and then the Fantastic Four can come in later. Like,
right.
I think that would be a cool way to do it. But we'll see. I'm probably when I'm all done the
Mo Cheek story.
So, well, that's going to take 4 years. So.
Hey, Adam, with the Black Panther being up for Best Picture, you know, we love these superhero movies, the Marvel Cinematic Universe in particular, and it's nice. I see this as a legitimizing that genre a little bit. Do you see it that way as well?
Oh, totally. I mean, the position of these comic books for the last 60 years has always kind of been our new mythology.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these movies, like, did you see Thor Ragnarok?
Was sensational.
Sensational. I thought it was so imaginative and funny and strange. And, like, when they do these movies and they really pull them off, they're pretty jaw-dropping. And I thought Black Panther definitely fit into that category. And, yeah, I think, you know, I think artistry is artistry. And I'm not snobby about genres. Like,
no.
I think, like, if a horror film, like, you know, the year that Get Out was out, I voted for that for Best Picture. Like, I think when a movie's interesting and original and, Yeah, I thought Black Panther was incredible. Like, just visually just knocked me over when I watched it.
Yeah, you pull in all the... Yesterday we had Richard Roundtree in the studio, you know, and Shaft and you know,
that's
these...
That's pretty cool.
That's super cool. Yeah. But all of those things inform, and I think you are sort of a... you're a conduit for this love of pop culture, and it works its way into how you express yourself in film, and it's cool to see that. So, Come the big award show itself. Do you have any special plans? Is there any Santeria rituals, or what do you what goes on?
You know, I'm just going to get up in the morning and I'm going to turn on Everybody's Working for the Weekend by Loverboy.
Yes.
I'm going to lift weights. Yes. I'm going to run upstairs.
You're going to drink. Montage music.
Wow.
Catch arrows.
Okay.
Shot to me by my sensei. And slowly I'm going to learn lessons.
There you go.
We got your music plan.
And then catch flies with chopsticks.
Now, we're obviously all excited and we're pulling for you. And it's, you know, it's certainly, you're up for a number of categories. And the SAG Awards are this weekend as well. Will you be attending that ceremony?
You know, actually, I can't do the SAG Awards, which I'm bummed about because I got family junk. But but Bale and Adams can handle themselves, and they've been through these things a few times.
Just a couple.
I'm hoping both of them get a win. They certainly deserve it. Amy Adams is amazing in this movie, and
totally.
And then we go into the run. We got, like, you know, WGA, or no, DGA is next. And then we have BAFTA and WGA. And you know.
I triple dog dare you that if you find yourself at the podium with a trophy in your hand, that you thank Preston and Steve.
Oh, my God.
I triple dog dare you.
You don't go right to the triple dog dare. You have to follow protocol.
Yeah. Yeah. Adam, I wanted to let you know about a serendipitous moment that happened this week, because we started the week off with an interview with Justin Guarini. And in your movie, and we're ending the week with you, there is a moment where in Vice they are talking about American Idol and Justin and Kelly. And I just found that hilarious.
That cracked me up. That's an improvised scene. I just told the actors at the table what was going on in the news, what was happening, and I said, just be a family, eat dinner together, talk like a family would talk, and it cracks me up. Amy Adams is such a fan of singing and, like, all that stuff. She knew Justin Guarini's name, and after the take, I was like, I love that Lynn Cheney would know who Justin Guarini is. No way Lynn Cheney knows who Justin Guarini is, but I was like, it got in the movie.
Please let her know we know Justin Guarini. If she ever wants to come on the show, we would love to have her. So,
oh, my gosh. She's a human jukebox, man. She can sing every song from the 70s and 80s.
Oh, that's great. Adams.
And she did them as Lynn Cheney every single day on set.
That's brilliant.
It was incredible.
I love it. Well, listen, Adam, and one more thing before we go. We still, someday, we want to rent out a theater, actually a really big theater, and do a screening of Step Brothers, because the movie has just become one of those movies.
It's a pop culture leviathan.
And see if you can come out for a Q&A after the screening.
I would love that. Count me in 100%.
And we'll do a money for charity. And make a good out of it. So,
no, I mean it. 100% count me in. That just sounds like a blast.
You awesome. Heard it right there. Excellent. Well, listen, congratulations. Good luck. All that great stuff. Adam, thank you. It's always wonderful to talk to you.
Always wonderful to talk to you guys. Have a great one.
Love it. Adam McKay, guys. He's a genius.
Every time, man. He's such a good interview.
He's brilliant, man. And I'm telling you, I'm watching that. I was watching Vice last night. He wrote the damn thing. It is so smartly written. And uniquely, as you were talking earlier this morning, Steve, you know, Kathy, it's tough for you to follow nonlinear timelines in films. It bounces all over the place. But I loved that about it.
If it's done right, and it's not everybody's cup of tea, it doesn't mean, you know, it's just some people, you know, like when I brought up Pulp Fiction, where you talk about that, and that wasn't a movie you initially liked, so it's part of the deal.
That's cool to talk to him. Listen, we got to take a break right now, so we're going to do that very thing. $50 gift card to Piccalilli.
Hey, hey.
Call number 12 at 215-263-WMMR. I'll tell you more about them when we get back. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Cassettes. Celebrating our area's best talent. So tell me who you think about when you hear love songs on the radio. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword Local Shots. Cassettes. Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks your world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Yeah, Nick pulled up a post from a happy birthday post from Jackie Bam Bam, and it's Jackie and I together, and he was wearing his mummer's outfit. I wonder where that was.
Were you wearing yours?
No, I wasn't wearing my mummer's outfit. But I would like to know, is it possible to get my head widened? You know, my entire head widened a little bit,
really?
Or at least up here by my eyes.
Why?
You know, it looks like somebody, a giant, grabbed my head and pinched it right there.
Did you see the birthday tweet from Sarah Clayton?
No.
I texted it to you.
I would like to see that.
All right. It's different than you would expect, but I think you're going to love it. Really.
Is it naughty?
No.
Not so much.
Oh, okay. That's okay. She's naughty and nice.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
I like both of those.
I like that you get a little lips emoji.
Yes.
She sends out stuff.
Yes. Thank you, Jackie Bam Bam. That was really cool. It's a cool picture of he and I together.
Is it naughty?
So awesome. No, it's not naughty. It's nice.
Naughty.
We need to do. Oh, real quick, I need to mention this. We have a new Daily Rush video that is up and running. Oh, I see what she did.
Yeah. What'd she do? What?
She knows I have ASMR, so it's her typing on a keyboard, which is my favorite ASMR trigger. Actually, you know who gives the best keyboard is Marissa.
Oh, yeah.
Marissa?
Oh, yeah.
Marissa gives keyboard. She gives great keyboard.
She gives great keyboard. I stand outside the door and listen to her sometimes. ASMR people will understand.
Well, you know what? The flatter Mac computers, it's like not as loud as the traditional keyboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yours sounds nice, too, Kathy. All right. Anyhow, I want to thank, or no, I don't want to thank anybody.
I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to thank Tupac and Biggie.
Thank Chino.
I want to thank my good friend Chino and all the construction guys here, demo guys here at the station.
No, I want to mention we have a new Daily Rush video. It's called Haunted House Tours.
Oh,
Haunted House Tours.
Haunted House.
And of course, fans of Bonanza might remember this area. This is where Hoss ate the meal prepared by Hop Sing.
And apparently it says, the description of the video is, Preston is sure his Hoss...
Did you start drinking already?
His Hoss is haunted.
He's so excited that he can drink alcohol tonight.
Yeah, that I've got a natural pre-buzz. Not the Hoss. Preston is sure his house isn't haunted because they blew up all the graves under his house. Anyhow, watch that now. Sponsored by Punchline Philly Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar. All right, now we need to do the bizarre fact.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Go get him, Hoss.
All right, brought to you by Godshall's. Eat lighter with Godshall's Real Meat, Real Wood Smoked Turkey Bacon with up to 80% less fat than pork bacon. Godshall's turkey bacon, except no imitations.
Do you want a fun fact quickly?
Yeah.
Hoss's son is on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Really?
Dan Blocker's son.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It looks like Dan Blocker. There's your fun fact for the day.
That's our fun fact. All right, so I'm going to start with this story. I love this. This is out of Oregon. A rancher who has had gray wolves eat his livestock is now using the wacky, wavy, waving, inflatable, flailing arm tube man.
As a wolf repeller?
To keep the predators at bay.
Wow. Awesome.
I kid you not. Ted Birdseye began using the contraption on Saturday in his pasture after the pack killed another calf in the same field where the wolves had already eaten five calves and one guard
dog.
Did
you hear what happened, though?
No.
It was attacked by a wacky, waving wolf.
Oh, no. Yeah. They have one of those.
Wacky, waving, inflatable, arm, flailing tube man. Wacky, waving, inflatable, arm, flailing tube man. Wacky, waving, inflatable, arm, flailing tube man.
Is it working?
So the device is the same one that's commonly seen at used car lots and is powered by a generator that blows the air into the balloon so it jumps up and wiggles around in the air. He said it looks like an alien at night. He says he doesn't know whether the flailing dancer will be a long-time deterrent to the pack preying on his cattle in some remote field, but the first two nights, it's proved successful.
Very cool.
And it is one of the air dancer is one of two that arrived Saturday, the day after the latest attack. And they were sent by the Defenders of Wildlife Conservation Group. So I guess maybe this is something that they've tried out and used.
To stop farmers from killing the wolves?
Yeah. No, it keeps the wolves from killing the
cattle. Right, but they don't want the farmers to start shooting the wolves and everyone, because they had been using real dolls, but they weren't effective.
They just had those.
Yeah.
They were available.
That's I put Mercedes out there on a bale of hay with her legs spread.
Well, here's the story about a guy who could use a real doll. A woman delivering a pizza to a man in an apartment building called 911 because the male customer allegedly exposed himself and began spanking it while she was preparing to give him his change.
What kind of topping you want?
Christopher Lee Owens was arrested, and he has been charged with aggravated indecent exposure. According to the police, a Domino's delivery driver arrived at Owens' apartment to deliver the pizza when she noticed his arm moving up and down while she was completing the final transaction. She told police that he was fully exposed and was emphatic that it was clearly intentional. Hmm. The report said Owens was wearing plaid pajama pants with a slit in the front and a gray hoodie.
Isn't the deal that if you don't get off in 30 minutes, you get the pizza for free?
Maybe. Police said that the woman was visibly upset and told them that she began yelling at Owens when she saw what he was doing.
How pathetic.
She then called police. Upon their arrival, police said that they asked Owens about the incident, and he said his privates accidentally fell out of his pants, but he was trying to put it away. He said
his
pajama bottoms are new, and that could have contributed to the accidental exposure.
Hey, we've all had that situation where we're at the door with new pajama bottoms and our ball sack keeps falling out.
All right, and so Owens told officers that his button was open on his pajamas, and he reached down and put away whatever it was she thinks she saw. Police asked him if he had any prior indecent exposure incidents, and he said yes, he had two previous charges.
That's going to hurt his case.
I think it might. A woman in China decided to just slice up and eat an entire durian fruit after she was told that she couldn't carry the pungent fruit inside a train station.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. God,
the spiky fruit is widely considered hazardous to carry in public transport in many parts of the continent. When the woman tried to bring the fruit with her to a railway station, security staff barred her from entering. Left with the choice of tossing her precious durian or consuming it entirely, she decided to go with the latter. Borrowing a saw, she hacked the durian in half and proceeded to eat it. Impressively, she managed to finish the entire thing just in time to catch her train.
The thing is, and we had our famous the durian fruit and the Sir Stroman, right? The
Sir Stroman, yeah.
Right. I can't even imagine that first point at which a human being cut that open and still pursued eating it.
Yeah.
It's such a horrific smell.
Yeah,
and I don't understand how it continues to be a favorite.
The incident was captured on video and emerged on Chinese social media immediately after.
There's a commercial airing right now where Kevin Hart is shopping in a grocery store,
yes.
And he has some kind of fruit at the
it's
end.
It's a durian fruit.
Is it a durian fruit?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, so he points at the person checking him out and asks if she can double bag it. And then he says, and can you tell me what that is? I don't know what it is. And I didn't know if it was a durian
fruit. Sure enough.
It kind of looks like a blowfish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's got the spiky prongs on it. California is having issues with coyotes in some areas, and the Redwood
City waving tube guy.
The Redwood City Parks and Recreation Department had a bit of fun with their sign about it. I showed you guys this picture.
This is great.
The sign reads what you would expect, okay, to beware of these coyotes. But in the small text below the warning, it says, call animal control if you see dangerous coyote activity, such as coyote carrying a box marked Acme, coyote detonating explosives or TNT, coyote in possession of a giant magnet, coyote holding a sign such as detour or free bird seed, or coyote in possession of a catapult, coyote dropping an anvil from a hot air balloon. So these are the things you want you to watch.
I continue to be a huge fan of the Roadrunner coyote. It's some of the funniest visual comedy you'll ever see.
Agreed. And you know what? We will wrap it right there, my friend. That is what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. Casey, what do you want me to give away?
Well, you choose between this and that.
Let me do this. I'm going to do the last of our pick,
Lily gift cards
that we have here. And I have $50 gift cards, and we'll take caller 15 and 16.
You can eat it at your hoss.
At 215-263-WMMR. Pick a Lily. They are taking party tray orders right now. You got the big game coming up. These guys are perfect to cater that for you. They're world famous wings. You can order takeout or bring home from them, and it's really easy to do. Pre-order and prepay for drive through pickup if you like.
Wow.
Order today. Yeah, call 609-62. They wrote it out phonetically.
You don't know numbers, Preston?
609-268-2066. All right, there you go.
I think just writing the numbers would be easier.
It is.
It'd be fine for me, yeah. 609-268-2066 is the number for Pick a Lily. If you want to order, but right now, call us, and we'll take those callers and set you up with the gift cards. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a second. And we'll do the trash, music news, lesson question, all that stuff's coming up next. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Alexa.
Amazon's voice-activated personal assistant, Alexa, will take you right to MMR's brand new skill. It's the easiest way to open the station live stream and our audio on demand. Simply say, Alexa, open MMR.
I'm going to give you just a couple of more minutes to text in for our secret text word prize today. And if you're a fan of the band Fish, this is what you want. 3-day reserved seat passes to see them at all three of their shows, okay? BB&T Pavilion, June 28th, 29th, and 30th. So this is your last chance. Text the word FISH to 39333. And we'll get ourselves a winner in just a little bit. I'm not going to do it right now because we're going to do a lesson question, and we're going to need the phone lines to be open for that. So let's get to that. By the way, we're going to give away a $75 gift card to Walmart if you can get the answer correct. So let's go with this. I used to experience FOMO, and as a result, I am what? 215-263-WMMR. I used to experience FOMO, fear of missing out. And that makes me what? 215-263-WMMR. I'm sure you had to have heard it earlier in order to get it, and I'm sure you did. So call right now. We'll see if you can get through and win that prize. We're going to do the trash while we're waiting for your phone call.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, the trash this morning brought to you by Steve Morrison. What's going on, Steve?
And I prepared it for your birthday, Preston.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a little gift. Well, rapper T.I. telling TMZ he believes Travis Scott's decision to do the Super Bowl halftime show is selfish because of the whole Colin Kaepernick issue, said T.I., quote, every man has the right to make his own decisions just as long as they're my decisions.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Game show legend Bob Barker reportedly doing fine after a fall at his home that required paramedics. Apparently, the 95-year-old Barker was feeling especially spry and attempted to jump over some lint. finally, Real Housewives star Teresa Giudice has apparently had enough and has told her husband Joe that she will not go with him if he is deported back to Italy. Teresa confided to a friend that Joe has been on thin ice from the second he stuck her with a name that sounds like an Hasidic board game. That's your hobby track.
All right, we shall see if somebody knows the answer to this question. I used to experience FOMO, and as a result, I am what? I will go to Kyle for the answer. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, I'm FOMO-sexual.
FOMO-sexual. That's correct. You got it, buddy. Hang on just a second. We are going to get your information, Kyle. And we are going to give you a $75 gift card to Walmart, your shaving headquarters, courtesy of Bic Flex. With Bic Flex, you'll get a super smooth shave without trimming your bank account. With high-quality blades that flex to the contours of your skin. Smooth shave, smooth price, and that is Bic Flex. Beginning to Mean Street. I love that
one. I did this for you as well.
Thank you, Casey. One of my favorite songs. Absolutely.
It's also one of my favorite stories of yours.
Oh.
Where'd your parents go? Japan?
Yeah. And on the answering machine, before you had voicemail, you had an actual answering machine. I had this music playing, and I'm like, my parents are out of town! The party starts right now!
They were not happy.
Oh, my dad was...
Then they called.
The message my dad left was quite simply this. It was just him going, get that goddamn message off of the machine now. Click. And that was it.
And then that's when your heart sung.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. God.
You must have
imagined. Around the world, I didn't care.
They were flying back. I mean, yeah.
No, that was after I broke my arms.
Oh. Sliding down the banister?
Same trip, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, you're the worst.
Broke both my arms. Isn't that nice? All right, let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! I want to love you. BYD for Young Thing.
Yeah!
Brought to you by Godshall's. Eat lighter with Godshall's. Real meat, real wood, smoked turkey bacon with up to 80% less fat than pork bacon. Godshall's turkey bacon, except no imitations. Red Hot Chili Peppers are going to perform with rapper Post Malone at the 2019 Grammy Awards. The ceremony, which will be hosted by singer and songwriter and birthday girl Alicia Keys today, will be broadcast on February 10th live from the Staples Center in Los Angeles on CBS. Post Malone has been nominated for 4 Grammys this year, including Record of the Year and Album of the Year. Some of the other performers that night will be Miley Cyrus, Brandi Carlile, Her, Cardi B, Shawn Mendes, Janelle Monáe, Kacey Musgraves, Dan and Shay, and Camila Cabello.
The McGurfle twins.
The Chili Peppers have been nominated for 16 Grammys throughout their career, winning 6. The band has gotten the prize twice for Best Rock Song, also winning for Best Hard Rock Performance, Best Rock Album, Best Rock Performance by a Duo Group with Vocal, and Best Boxed or Limited Edition Package. I had no idea they'd been nominated and won that many times.
I always thought that they were sort of mildly dismissed by the rock critics. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had, before they broke out, yeah, they were kind of tough to get the accolades.
Yeah.
And now they receive them. Blink-182 bassist and singer Mark Hoppus has teamed with all-time low frontman Alex Gaskarth for a new project that's called Simple Creatures, and a lyric video for a new song called Drug was also released yesterday. The lyric video depicts the notion of letting toxic things rule one's life, with animated cartoons and angry pill bottles and frenzied brains marching throughout the 3-minute clip. The pair do not reveal whether they are working on a full-length album, and Hoppus's also recently said the Blink-182 was back in the studio working with a follow-up to their LP, California. Former My Chemical Romance singer Gerard Way has released a new cover version of Simon & Garfunkel's Hazy Shade of Winter, featuring ex-My Chemical Romance guitarist Ray Toro as well. The song was unveiled in the first official trailer for The Umbrella Academy, the upcoming Netflix series based on Way's award-winning comic book. He wrote on Instagram, "This is surreal and exciting and just wild. Getting to cover Hazy Shade of Winter with Ray Toro and Jared Alexander was so much fun. Can't wait for you to see the show when it comes out February 15th on Netflix." To the cast and crew and Steve Blackman, the showrunner, did a spectacular job with our baby.
Speaking of Netflix, by the way, Preston, on an entirely different tangent, that Ted Bundy documentary dropped yesterday.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It looks really good.
I started watching it. Yeah.
The Umbrella Academy, by the way, will star Ellen Page, Tom Hooper, Robert Sheehan, and Mary J. Blige and others. And it focuses on a unique group of children who reunite after the death of the billionaire who raised them. The reunion comes just as the threat of a global apocalypse arrives, forcing them to combine their abilities and work together. Sounds kind of interesting. Paul and Linda McCartney's daughter, fashion icon Stella McCartney, has saluted her dad's old band with her Stella Menswear Autumn Winter 2019 collection. Beatles-themed shirts, jackets, coats, and sweaters are going to be in it. And she commented saying this collection has a lot of Beatles references, starting from the cinematic theme titled All Together Now, portraits of her father's buddies. Or this is not her saying this. Is who the hell said this?
Who said that?
All right. It's an article.
Who say that?
John, Ringo, and George.
They said that?
Are all posterized and seen on the pieces, along with All You Need Is Love patches on shirting. The song When I'm 64 is made an appearance by Number Graphics on classic gray overcoat. And not to mention a landscape from the iconic Pepperland scene from Yellow Submarine is also digitally printed on organic cotton poplin shirt.
Stella McCartney is like upper tier designer. Her stuff is incredibly popular.
I wonder how expensive it is.
It's very expensive.
Yeah, because I wouldn't mind getting. I saw a picture of some of the stuff. Looked pretty cool, but I doubt I will. And then one last story. Former Eagles guitarist Don Felder has inked a new recording deal with BMG and will release American Rock and Roll, his first new studio set since 2012. And some of the high-profile guests, and this is the main reason I bring it up, are Sammy Hagar, Slash, Mick Fleetwood, Bob Weir, Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Joe Satriani.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Any room in there for the River Valley Vocal Band?
Maybe.
We made our debut of our Rent soundtrack this morning.
We did, and hopefully you heard it, because we're not going to do it again.
It was lightning in a bottle.
And that's what I have for you.
It's on Instagram. We've released it on Instagram.
Really? That's good. That's all the major artists release on Instagram.
Let's give away the fish prize pack. Casey, secret text for give me another caller.
We're going to go with 7 for seven below.
All right, caller 7215263-WMMR. Let's see if you can get through and win. We'll be back in just a moment. Word of the week prize. Give that away, too, when we return. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic from 93.3 WMMR and Captain Morgan Original Spice Rum is Friday, March 1st at Jack Frost Mountain, where the snow comes first.
It's the best lift ticket deal all year and a spectacle on snow.
MMR ups our game in the prize department, including a $2,000 cash prize for overall best design, $1,000 for the coolest Captain Morgan theme. Sprint has a quick $500 for the fastest sled and a booby prize for the new category, Preston and Steve's Favorite Fail. Mandatory sled registration through February 24th. Available at WMMR.com. Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic 2019 at Jack Frost Mountain.
Presented by Captain Morgan Original Spice Rum. Live like a captain. Join the crew. And sponsored by Sprint and JP Mascaro and Sons.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.